Hey folks, we have a word to start off the show from one of our favorite sponsors, Sunset Lake CBD. If you use the coupon code LEFTISBEST, all one word, for 20% off, you can get 20% off your entire order at sunsetlakecbd.com. Sunset Lake CBD grows, harvests, and ships all of its craft CBD products directly from its farm in northern Vermont, straight to your door. You can skip the lines and find your relief and relaxation with Sunset Lake CBD. I am a daily user of any Sunset Lake product, sometimes multiple Sunset Lake products. They've got the lotions, they've got the salves, they've got the smalls, they've got the tinctures for sleep, for relaxing. They've got the gummies, the relax gummies, the vibe gummies. I mean, they've got everything that you need. Sunset Lake wants to be your trusted one-stop shop for all of your hemp and CBD needs, and that's why they grow their own CBD, providing testing paperwork with every order, and they will help with any and all questions. They've got the best in the business customer service. They don't believe in using AI or bots to steer you in circles. When you talk to Sunset Lake, you talk to a real-life person there, and they've got products for everyone, as I mentioned. If you've had a tough day at work, you can skip the cocktail and get into your jammies and have some comfort with CBD, gummies, tinctures, etc. that can help with sleep, topicals for relieving sore muscles, and of course, the smokable parts. If you order over $75, if your order is over $75, rather, Sunset Lake CBD can ship your order for free. When you create an account on Sunset Lake CBD's website, you can start earning rewards points and earn 10% back on all of your purchases. Sunset Lake, they use regenerative farming practices. They pay all of their workers a minimum wage of $22 an hour. A majority of the farm and business is employee-owned. They've also partnered with us on criminal justice reform, and they themselves have donated to causes like food insecurity, criminal justice reform, as I mentioned, solidarity funds, strike funds, and more. And they never use pesticides, use integrated pest management, and you can trust that this is the good stuff in terms of CBD. So once again, if you want to have the real thing in terms of CBD products, use coupon code LEFTISBEST, all one word, for 20% off your entire Sunset Lake order at sunsetlakecbd.com. That's coupon code LEFTISBEST, all one word, for 20% off your entire order at sunsetlakecbd.com. And now time for the show.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, July 17th, 2026. My name is Emma Vigeland, in for Sam Cedar, and this is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live, steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Jamal Bowman, former middle school principal, former U.S. representative for New York's 16th district. His memoir, Unpolished, is out in November, and he'll be with us in studio to recap the news of the week. Also on the program last night, Trump whined about the 2020 election in a primetime address. He claimed Chinese interference and cast doubt on our electoral system 4 months before the midterms. Trump calls to revoke ABC and NBC's broadcast licenses after most networks refused to air his election denial speech live for fears of liability. DHS is now claiming to have found tens of thousands of non-citizens on voter rolls. A federal judge says that's not the case. They're also not presenting any evidence that they voted. which is kind of the issue at hand here.
Still scary.
Yeah, ooh. In a speech to a group of foreign diplomats, Stephen Miller implores them to help the administration jail and debank left-wing terrorists in the United States. The U.S. escalates its war crimes in Iran, attacking civilian infrastructure and killing dozens of Iranians. The ex-wife of the ICE officer who killed a Colombian man in Maine says he has serious mental health issues, shouldn't have a gun, has an abusive past, and called her asking him her to lie for him about this case. So, seems like a stand-up guy. Much of the U.S. continues to be under air quality warnings. Ontario reported a total of more than 180 active fires. Trump's teleprompter operator has been put on paid leave after making $100,000, allegedly, on Kalshi bets on Trump's speeches.
Lucky.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Where's my taste?
Okay. Heads, I win. Tails, you lose.
Not a heater.
House Republicans are signaling to Trump that the Iran Supplemental and SAVE Act could be in trouble. James Dolan's Madison Square Garden is suing Wired over its reporting showing the venue kept a database of LGBTQ celebrities. Demonic man. And lastly, Representative Pramila Jayapal has introduced a bill that would bar ICE from separating families. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Casual Friday. Hello, Matt. Hello, Brian. Hello, audience. Excited to have Jamal in studio to break down the news of the week. We'll talk about the Democrats, over 100 Democrats breaking on Israel funding, his, time in Congress, how he can reflect on that. We'll talk probably a bit about the Nolan Wells case, ICE, some of the primaries as well. But last night, Trump addressed the nation about the most pressing issue that we face, if people were fair to him in the 2020 election. I guess I shouldn't say it's the most pressing issue we face, because we still have the reflecting pool to worry about.
In the ballroom.
Right. Ballroom is kind of tied for me here with, were people nice to Trump about losing to Biden? I'm sorry. I mean, losing to Biden. Because we now have apparently explosive diarrhea. I mean, explosive intelligence from the administration, from the intelligence agencies, that was cobbled together to craft this BS narrative that China interfered with the 2020 election. So the speech last night was completely deranged. Basically, Trump and the White House and the FBI and the other intelligence agencies have cobbled together a bunch of random intelligence to claim that China had an influence operation in the 2020 election, and also that Venezuela has the capability to manipulate electronic voting systems, but only in Venezuela and not in the United States, is what the assessment concluded.
We're surrounded.
That's the best they can do. And I will remind people that in June, right before Tulsi Gabbard resigned as the Director of National Intelligence, the White House delayed the release of a report that her office had commissioned on the voting machines. It seems like she was unable to find anything, then was ousted. And then a month later, what do you know? Now that Trump has the acting director of national intelligence, who is a real estate buddy of his from Florida, they're able to find all of this evidence and intelligence that Trump claims supports his conspiracy theories about the election. And what's amazing is that this was the best they can do. And what you're about to see is that it doesn't even support that.
And I would just give some broader context for people who don't remember, 5 years or plus, a little over half decade ago, that Trump himself called Raffensperger, I forget what his first name is, down in Georgia, and said, what I want to do is I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have because we won the state. These are people who have actually tried to do election fraud in front of all of our faces, and we have objective proof of it.
And the intelligence that he's sharing, right? None of this is verified intelligence. This is the equivalent of VAERS, which, shocker, the right wing also fell for, which is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And it's basically just people submitting tips and saying, this impacted me, I'm feeling this. And like, it's there's no verification if it's credible or not. It's like a tip line. So what's happening right now is Trump and the FBI are declassifying material from information gathering and claiming that it's been covered up, but and releasing just the little pieces of information that fit their narrative. But one, let's remind people, Trump was in power when this was happening. So he has to go an extra step of claiming that the people that he appointed in his first term were a part of the deep state cover-up subverting him.
Traitors.
And everyone knows he's lying to this point, and we're all supposed to entertain these delusions because, as I mentioned, many cable news networks refused to air this live because they remembered what happened to Fox News when they peddled the election denial stuff. Dominion sued them for a bunch of money and won. So, or they settled for a lot of money. So here's Trump last night claiming that China tried to undermine the 2020 election by making him look bad, and then also then says that China paid journalists to write negative stories about him, which he does not substantiate at all.
As the documents we are releasing show, CIA reporting explicitly stated, and I quote, in mid-2018, the Chinese Communist Party's policy was to leverage all domestic and foreign elements that were opposed to the U.S. president in an effort to reduce the U.S. president's votes and make him resign or prevent his reelection. Isn't that nice? Also, in mid-2018, China was working to influence the results of the U.S. midterm elections and later the results of the 2020 presidential election itself. Separately, in mid-2019, the Chinese government's strategy against the United States was focused on undermining domestic confidence in the U.S. president. They wanted to just make you sound like your president wasn't so hot, when actually your president has done a great job. And they did.
Sorry, can we just
I know
get this wind up again? And I also just
my
add,
ex-wife
like,
is getting paid by the Chinese government.
J.D. Vance was literally flying on government taxpayer-funded planes to go over to Hungary to support a candidate that then lost.
Exactly.
So, like, I mean, this crying about, like, they didn't want me to win. And they
said
and bad things about me.
I mean, it's like, and everyone in the country is talking about Israel's influence over our elections, and yet we're talking about
the record spending.
Exactly. All right, let's just finish a little bit more of this.
Against the United States was focused on undermining domestic confidence in the U.S. president. They wanted to just make you sound like your president wasn't so hot, when actually your president has done a great job, and they did everything possible to do exactly that.
Okay, all right. So, going you know, on, we talk about he talks about the Russia hoax all the time. Look, Russia's influence did try to influence with an information disinformation campaign, the 2016 election. But that was the extent of it. It was overstated in many ways by liberals. This doesn't even come close to the level of Russia's interference in 2016, what we're talking about here. But they wanted to make me look not so hot. Trump is lying also about the assessment made about the election. There's a report that came out put together by Trump's now CIA director, but at the time he was at DNI, John Ratcliffe. They made an assessment about this. And they found that China did not deploy, I'm reading from this article on here that quotes it, did not deploy interference efforts and considered, but did not deploy influence efforts intended to change the outcome of the U.S. presidential election. So, like, it said that they did not interfere, but that they entertained it at a high level, essentially.
Yeah, MS Now, intelligence assessment, this is from a couple days ago, including those compiled by the intelligence community in the final term, draw a clear distinction between influence and interference by foreign actors. Intelligence officials determined that influence campaigns happened in 2020, including social media activity by Iran and China aimed at weakening Trump, and by Russia aimed at denigrating then-candidate Joe Biden, but officials concluded that China did not interfere, a term defined as activity aimed at technically compromising voting systems and manipulating votes to affect the outcome.
But have you heard about the burn bags? This is another thing that we're learning from this primetime address. Trump continues here with a new claim about bags of information that were found that the Obama, Barack Hussein, which don't worry, he says
Barack Hussein, no, burn bags.
Barack Hussein.
I stole that from somebody else.
Burn bag Barack tried to get rid of it, but they were too incompetent. So they found them. Wow. So Obama, he knows, tried to burn the bags of documents, but was unsuccessful, and Kash Patel uncovered it, coincidentally.
Political. Recently, we found significant numbers of burn bags in formation, and this is a group of bags that were used to destroy information given by President Barack Hussein Obama.
Ding, ding, ding.
To be burned. It was supposed to be burned.
That is
These
grandma.
Bags were supposed to be at a different level by different people, incinerated and checked, but it never happened. Maybe we got lucky. We believe this was not done on purpose, but rather through gross incompetence of the people that were supposed to burn the bags. But the findings are stunning. Today, I'm asking the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the CIA to investigate how and why such crucial information was hidden.
Okay. So now Trump is saying that he's directing the Director of National Intelligence to do that. As I mentioned, Tulsi Gabbard has been ousted. So Bill Pulte is the acting DNI. There is currently hearings on Capitol Hill about getting a permanent Director of National Intelligence. But Bill Pulte is the guy, as I say, who comes from the real estate housing background. He's not an intelligence analyst. And
a burn bag expert.
And when has this gone wrong? You know, in this last year or so, Trump putting real estate guys in like national security roles. I don't know, perhaps
like negotiating the end of wars or
right,
conflicts
right.
And stuff
where has that gone wrong? So I don't know what he's talking about. Obama and burn bags. Obama's time.
You didn't burn them.
Why would Obama be involved in this in the 2020 election? He'd been out of office for 4 years. Does his key card still worked?
It's Agent Obama.
Like, what am I even supposed to say to that? I'm trying to fact check this in real time, but I'm not even sure how I can respond to such.
Well, it's tough because he was, like you say, president at the time of all this happening, and Joe Biden hadn't yet been president, so you can't blame him. So it has to be Obama.
It has to be Obama. All right, this is the final insane claim here. This is him saying that Venezuela did a big number on our elections, unclear what that means, but and then claims they have the capacity to change vote totals.
Our democracy, many people have questioned whether it could actually be possible to electronically manipulate vote totals or change election results on these terrible machines. Today we are releasing
terrible
documents
machines.
That show the CIA obtained reporting of a specific plot to do a big number in favor of the corrupt Maduro regime in Venezuela. And that's exactly what happened, conspiring to digitally rig their own country's elections in 2020. And that's what they did. This reporting included precise details about methods to regime develop to digitally alter vote totals in ways that could not be detected even with an audit, no matter how deep they went. This intelligence underscores why we must take urgent action to ensure that our own system can never, ever be hacked or compromised.
Or compromise. Okay. So, as I said earlier, there even the documents that he releases here has nothing that indicates that Venezuela has the capacity to manipulate voting systems in the U.S.
I do remember, Anya.
It doesn't even says that Venezuela did it itself. It's that it has the capacity to do it.
Yeah, well.
And this is within the context of Trump and the administration trying to force these democratic states to hand over their voter rolls. And there have been like 14, 15 judges who have denied this request. Additionally, also, the DHS is claiming now that they're reviewing all of these non-citizens on voter rolls with a figure that's much higher than is seen elsewhere. And a federal judge just ruled on this and said that this database that they're putting together has been classifying U.S. citizens as ineligible voters. They're just trying to juice the numbers to get it to a total where Trump thinks, like, mathematically, that means I definitely won in 2020, right? They're setting the groundwork. It was an outrageous and ridiculous speech, but it is pretty horrifying, especially when you compare it with Stephen Miller's speech yesterday to that group of foreign diplomats where he essentially said that they're going to push the prosecution of so-called left-wing terrorists. Ken Klippenstein has been great in covering SPM-7, which is this directive that issues federal law enforcement to go after left-wing groups. They're going to try to tie China to the left in the U.S. and do a Red Scare McCarthyite-style
purge
and attack on the left, whether it's both like left-wing organizations. I'm thinking about DSA, amongst others. And
I mean, they're right now going after the Code Pink, one of the Code Pink funders. Yeah.
Pro-Palestine activism is already underway, of course, but now, once again, like with the pro-Palestine activism, they will use some sort of national security justification, like in the Red Scare, to crack down on dissent domestically. But unlike the Red Scare, this is post 9/11 America, baby, and we have unchained have fully funded, I should say, large swaths of our government under DHS to have this domestic Gestapo and attack on our civil liberties via a national security infrastructure that is outside of our judiciary and judicial system in any meaningful way. So, yeah, it's kind of bad that the war on terror created this infrastructure.
The agency that Thug worked for up in Maine, that got a budget bigger than the FBI's per year.
And there's a reason why we don't want federal law enforcement at our polling places. My God, like this was an attempt to intimidate black voters in the Jim Crow South. And Stephen Miller and Trump look at that and go, yeah, like that's what we're going to do now in the 21st century. So let's just be clear about who we're facing here. And any liberal that comes to you and says, turn the page on these people, they did this with Bush, they did it with Trump 1.0. If they do it with Trump 2.0, know that they don't care about leftists being rounded up and that they fundamentally sort of agree with this attack and targeting. And I would include Zionists in that. And if we don't take power and the Democrats don't respond in kind by prosecuting these criminals, those actions say that they don't have a sincerity about protecting their own constituents and leftists who are trying to organize for a better world. We will see where liberals fall on this, and I'm not that optimistic.
You know who was central in pushing the effort to expel Jan 6 collaborators? It was Cori Bush, who you can support in a race for Congress right now.
Yes, go Cori. In a moment, we'll also be talking. We'll be talking to Jamal Bowman, maybe a bit about Cori Bush's race as well, and all the other primaries across the country, and the Trump administration, what's going on in Congress, and more. But first, a word from one of our sponsors. I like to take care of my skin these days, especially in my 30s. You gotta get serious about skincare in your 30s, is what I am told. And we have talked about why OneSkin really stands out as a skincare company. It's not hype and fancy packaging. It is real science. And I love OneSkin. I use it daily as my daily moisturizer. I especially love OneSkin's eye cream, which is really light, but and doesn't, and I, you know, the eyes, skin is very sensitive. It's not as callous. So sometimes it can cause me to break out if I don't use the right eye cream. OneSkin has been a revelation in that, on that front. And as we age, some skin cells stop functioning the way they should. Longevity scientists call them zombie cells, and that's what's actually driving the visible signs of aging. The fine lines, the loss of firmness, the dullness that creeps in over time, and OneSkin's OS1 peptide was specifically engineered to address those. So you're getting everything you expect from great skincare with OS1 doing something most skincare was never built to do. And the more you use it, the more you realize that you're seeing your skin look a bit brighter, a bit firmer. 80% of visible skin aging starts with sun exposure, but OneSkin's new limited edition summer bundles have you covered. It's their skincare and SPF essentials paired together. So the OS1 peptide is helping to reverse the visible effects of UV aging while you're getting SPF protection from new damage. And as somebody who, you know, unfortunately, Jersey kid, like to tan in the sun a little bit, I need this. I've been telling everybody in my life about OneSkin because you really don't need a complicated routine to get younger, healthier looking skin. Thank you, OneSkin, for sponsoring today's episode. Born from over a decade of longevity research, OneSkin is helping you unlock your healthiest skin now and as you age. For a limited time, try OneSkin with 15% off using code MAJORITY at oneskin.co/majority. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code MAJORITY. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Again, that's 15% off OneSkin with the code MAJORITY at oneskin.co/majority, linked down below in the video and episode descriptions, and at majority.fm. And we would like to bring in for our friend Jamal Bowman. Jamal, good to see you. Look at that, seamless. We didn't even have to go to a break.
What's going on? The Jamal Bowman take over the Majority Report.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
You're
Let's
in
go.
Sam's seat. How does it feel?
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah, Sam, you know, extend the vacation.
I know.
I got you covered.
Yes.
You know, we're in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
New York City, let's go. It's great to be with you, Emma.
It's great to
see you.
It's great to see you, I should say. Former middle school principal, former U.S. representative for New York 16th District, and your memoir, Unpolished, is out this November. I asked you, you're going to be spilling the tea in this memoir, right?
Spilling all the tea.
Yeah.
Pulling back the curtain, going behind the scenes,
uh-huh.
Letting you know all the shit I went through in 2024, fighting against AIPAC. I had to tell a story. So I told the story from a Westchester County, New York perspective, from a Washington House of Representatives Democratic leadership perspective, and from the perspective of having $25 million spent against you on a daily basis and what you have to go through and what your family has to go through. So I'll tell that story, tell the story of my first trip to Palestine in 2021. Tell a story about all the shit that happened behind the scenes with the infrastructure vote.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
I'm nerdy and interested in that.
Oh, my God. I mean, just reflecting on that day and that week was crazy. So I tell all of that. And also tell a little story about my background, my childhood. You know, people know I used to be a middle school principal, but they don't really know how I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell that story as well. Tell a story about how we became the number one performing middle school in New York City. A lot of people don't know that. And then, like, how did this badass kid in New York City, like, who almost got himself killed 3 or 4 times, end up, like, in Congress fighting for all the things we were fighting for? So it's just a pretty cool story, and I think people will like it.
Yeah, I'm excited to read it. I think also you bringing up AIPAC right off the rip is a good way for us to just talk about these primaries and what you've been seeing. I mean, we're rooting for Cori Bush. We're going to have her on next week to cover her
race. I am on my
race.
Way to St. Louis
okay.
right after this, catching
nice.
A flight to go out there and be with our sister on the ground. So,
I mean,
absolutely.
Just talk about 2024. You before Massey was just ousted by AIPAC, you mm-hmm. and Cori Bush's races had the most money ever spent in a congressional yeah. primary, and it was AIPAC money. What was 2024 like for you? Did you know it was coming when that spending was happening? Like, did you anticipate how insane it would be?
It was like being dropped in to the middle of like a conflict zone. It was just like so much happening all at once. It was, you know, hate to bring this up, but it always comes up anyway. So for me, it was like fire alarm, October 7th.
Yeah.
And then like ceasefire resolution, mm-hmm. back to back to back. And then like primary race.
Yes.
So that was like in 2 months, you know what I'm saying? Like back to, so it was just being like being dropped into a war zone. And yeah, it was just like, you just, if you're dropped in the middle, you know, there's a movie by Tom Cruise where he keeps going like in this circle back and forth, back. I forget the movie, but like you drop in the middle and it's like, you gotta just fight 360 around you against all these things coming at you. So yeah, it was crazy, man. And yeah, daily attacks on every single media outlet. So you turn on YouTube attacks, you turn on Disney attacks, you turn on Meta attacks, you turn on, you know, my daughter going on YouTube attacks, mailers in the house, Channel 2, Channel 4, all the broadcast media. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. Right. And you couldn't. You know, it's one thing psychologically to think you're ready for it, and it's another thing to be like, okay, I got my record I could run on. But this was just like a bombardment of just money and attacks, and you can't respond to everything, and they drown out your ability to talk about your mm-hmm. record.
Just create a perception. He's controversial.
Yes, and it was just so overwhelming, right? Now, the thing I remind people is – redistricting really played a big part in this race also.
Yes.
So it wasn't just the money. It was 200,000 black people taken out of the district through redistricting. And I write about this as well, because there's just a lot of questions as it related to the head of the redistricting commission mm-hmm. was the deputy executive director to George Latimer.
Hmm.
So he was incentivized.
Who defeated you in that race and AIPAC was spending on.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So he was incentivized not to change the district that much back to, let's bring some of those black people back mm-hmm. into the district. He was incentivized because once George Latimer won the race, now the next next county executive was going to be Ken Jenkins, which is exactly what happened.
Right, right.
And he was appointed by the Senate Majority Leader of New York State. And these are all AIPAC supported people, right? And just going into the judge that made the final decision to kill the first maps, she went to high school with George Latimer, like all kind of crazy infrastructure
right.
that has been in place because special interests have been controlling the game for so long. So yeah, it was a lot. It was
right.
A lot.
And I mean, the strength of that machine has weakened, but I remember it in 2020 in your race. I remember it in 2018 in AOC's race and the dirty tricks that they were trying to pull on her in terms of ballot access, even getting on the ballot.
Yeah.
I guess, so Corey's district hasn't changed at all, right? So
correct.
This is also where, like, you can just have a straight up referendum in this race on AIPAC. And, I'm wondering if, you know, you have any thoughts on the 103 Democrats who voted now in the House to block around $3 billion in arms sales to Israel.
Not including George Latimer.
Not including George Latimer or Wesley Bell.
Or Hakeem Jeffries.
And then also Haley Stevens, if we're talking about important primaries. But, like, does that... What does that indicate to you? It's still not where the public opinion is in the Democratic base, which wants it just cut off arms. What the hell are we doing? That's where the voters are at. But does it give you hope that we're in a place right now where it was like a plurality because there were 10 present votes of the caucus?
Yeah. No, it gives me a tremendous amount of hope and excitement about where we are. I mean, the progressive movement has incredible power in this moment, and that power has been built over time. Like, first of all, shout out to the Palestinian scholars and organizers and activists who have been throwing body blows for decades before anybody knew who Jamal Bowman was.
Yeah.
There's so many people behind the scenes and organizations like IMEU and organizations like Jewish Voices for Peace and so many others that have been throwing body blows behind the scenes before, like, I even thought about running for Congress, right? So shout out to them. So they've been throwing these body blows and weakening in this monster that is AIPAC and the Israel lobby. And then 2018 comes, and you have the squad. They get in, and you got Rashida gets in, and Ilhan gets in, and Ilhan reminds us it's all about the Benjamins, and you try to call it anti-Semitic, but then freaking how many years later, you spend $25 million in this race and that race, and so it is about the Benjamins, right?
Yes, that was outrageous. Exactly, Pelosi threw her under the bus. Who voted to block these arms sales?
Right? Going full circle, right? And so 2018, you have that, and then 2020, Corey and I come in, and then 2024, AIPAC has to now show itself to the public, right? So a lot of, like, lobbying behind the scenes, but then 2024, they were on their heels so much, they had to now reveal, okay, we're going to spend $100 million this primary to, like, bully and intimidate people. And so, yes, Corey and I took the L there, but the ceasefire movement was stronger than ever. And then a year later, Zohran's elected, right, in New York City. And then this year, you got Claire and Brad and Daria Lisa and Dr. Adam Hemaway and Analia Mejia and
Milak Kiros.
And people forget this one in Dallas, replacing Jasmine Crockett, Reverend Frederick Haynes III, who I'm also going to see this weekend, got in as well, won his primary as well. And so, okay, you may have lost to Jamal Bowman, but Cori Bush is coming back, and like 10 others are coming back. So the American people are demanding enough. Enough is enough. We do not want our taxpayer money supporting genocide or apartheid or occupation or killing babies anywhere. We want to afford our housing. We want to afford our childcare. We want to afford our utilities. Yeah. We want to afford transportation. We want to afford education. If my child needs extra, if my child wants to take a gymnastics class, I want to be able to afford to send him or her to a gymnastics class or volleyball or soccer.
Yeah.
The American people work too damn hard to build this freaking economy for the plantation capitalists to not have a little bit on the side to say, hey, I want something, a little something for my kid too. And last thing I'll say is, I know I'm talking too much, but
no.
The thing about it is, right, the average American has known for a very long time intuitively that the game is rigged.
Yeah.
And we've let y'all get away with it for a while, but you freaking went too far now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not only are you using my money to kill infants, you're allowing a structure to exist that where one man can become a trillionaire. And we celebrate that as a thing. So enough of that shit. You know, now it's time for the people, the working class of this country, to rebuild a new America. And that's also what the book is about.
Right. And I think, like, it's kind of fascinating to see how people are so confused that everybody is making the connection that is so obvious that we're spending all this money to slaughter children, and yet I can't get health care and I can't get child care. Like, I don't know if this has bothered you in the way it's bothered me, but the national press has this immense condescension about voters and their ability to understand our politics. And they're always thinking about it from, like, a marketing branding perspective. Like, can we get this right candidate in? And it doesn't even come into their brain that a platform could be motivating people. And that's because they don't need to think about politics in a material way. So why would they think that voters do, right?
Yeah, it's like the capitalist colonization of the mind.
Yeah.
It's like mainstream media, how it just thinks and perceives and engages with the world is through this, like, hyper-capitalist perspective and mindset. And so there's little, if any, attention or engagement or thought as it relates to real working-class people in this country. And as a matter of fact, they're just treated as being at, like, the bottom of the caste system, right? Like, you're not even... voters are too stupid to understand what's really in their best interests. And so therefore we have to our amazing leadership.
We are the stewards of. I mean, they act yeah. like senators from like ancient Rome that get to decree and make these decisions.
Yeah, right. And the working class, you just have to go along with it, yeah. right? And again, we've known intuitively the game has been rigged, but there was a time in this country where you felt like you worked hard and you did the right thing. You got a little bit ahead, and that was fine. But now, man, I mean, people are just tired of struggling. They see through the bullshit. And again, this is like the gift and the curse of social media. Social media, you could be introduced to new ideas and scholars and people you never heard from before. You got independent media like the Majority Report and others, like bringing people to truth. And people are desperate, desperately yearning for the truth.
Yes. Yep.
A truth that it might be painful, but at least let me deal with it so I can know, how to move from there. People are desperate for it.
Well, I think they really think they're being lied to because they are. It's genuinely, like, I don't want to use the word conspiracy lightly, but there is a bit of an elite media conspiracy to obscure some of, like, the actual issues that people are talking about on the ground. I don't know if I've ever seen a disconnect more pronounced than the way that our media class talks about kitchen table issues and what everyday voters are talking about than I see right now. And it's shocking to me.
Well, there is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
There's a conspiracy to maintain white supremacy.
Right.
There's a conspiracy to maintain plantation capitalism.
Yep.
Conspiracy to maintain patriarchy. Conspiracy to maintain militarism. Absolutely. There are very powerful people conspiring to maintain the system that we have.
Yes.
And conspiring to lead everyone else to believe you have no power in challenging this system. But see, now people are starting to believe that they and know that they have power.
Yeah.
Right? The power in their vote, the power in their ability to organize, the power to knock a door, the power to make a call, the power to send a tweet, the power to send a text. People have power. Like, this is another thing that is really important. If you send a single email more than you sent a month ago, that's power. That's you taking an important step towards exercising your voice, exercising your power in whichever way you want. And guess what? Elected officials, they read those emails and they count those emails and they know what emails are coming in. And that's why we see the 105 vote against sending more weapons to Israel and 10 abstain. That was untenable when I was in Congress just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Unheard of. Like, the majority of Democrats in the House voted to either abstain or not send weapons to Israel. No, I can't think of when this happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's astonishing because it should be the common sense position, but also given what we know about the Democrats, it's astonishing. And I don't want to get too much into your book, but I am curious since we brought up Zoran. And
you want to get into
Barbara? Well, I mean, because I haven't read it yet. I haven't read it yet. We have to have you on.
True. I got
to
come back again.
We have to have you on again.
Yes.
But like the infrastructure stuff piques my interest because, Joe, part of why we're in this situation and affordability, they're using this as a buzzword, but they don't want to do Zoran's policies, but they want to talk about affordability. Okay. But part of the infrastructure bill and Build Back Better and all of that is like we threw millions and millions of people back into poverty with the destruction of the expanded child tax credit. And that was Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema's doing. And it was also Biden bringing in Republicans into the negotiating process instead of just ramming it through at the beginning of his term. At least that's my assessment from the outside.
That was part of it, yeah.
Yeah. How do you view it?
Yeah, no, absolutely right about the Republicans that he brought into this conversation under the mythology that, we need bipartisanship to make these things work, right? Post a insurrection president, which is insane.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, okay, well, y'all just tried to take over the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Like,
let's be nice to them.
Like, Capitol Police are dead. Like, people are dead. But you know what? Come back into the tent. Yeah. Let's have a conversation and get this thing figured out, right? Like, that was then, this is now, like 2 months later. No, but I love the framing around Build Back Better and affordability and how much that hurt Biden that he wasn't able to get that through. that's exactly how I wrote about it, because that's how I felt in real time. And that's how I feel like looking back on it.
Right.
And like that day was so crazy because like we came in the morning expecting to vote on Build Back Better and the infrastructure bill. And because infrastructure already passed the Senate, Biden was going to hold it at his desk until Build Back Better passed the Senate as well. All of a sudden, Josh Gottheimer and his, you know, band of merry Congress people decide, oh, we don't want to vote on this Build Back Better anymore. We want to vote. We need a CBO score. Some bullshit they just made up.
And he was also worried about, right, the tax exemptions for...
He's a bitch. He's worried about bitch shit. That's what he... Josh Gottheimer, yo, is... Anyway, I feel about him like I feel about Richie Torres. Like, two bitches that should not be in fucking elected
office. I was waiting...
I'm sorry.
I was waiting for you to unload.
I'm sorry. So, anyway, they want a CBO score. Even though Richie Neal, the chair of Ways and Means, who's... He ain't no DSA member.
Right.
Already told everyone this shit is paid for. Okay, we're going to do this with the IRS. We're going to tax the corporations a little bit more. We got it. We got Build Back Better paid for. And if we'd have passed Build Back Better, people would have real money in their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And so now affordability, we'd have been ahead of the affordability conversation. And then we would have been much more likely to win 2024, even though Gaza was still going to be a challenge. But that day, I remember, after these corporate Dems said, we're not going to vote on Build Back Better, the CBC caved and the CPC that was holding the line, I don't want to say they caved, because the thing about Congress, and again, we're not going to go too much into it, because we're going to talk about it again, but once the CBC is such a barometer, when the CBC moves a certain way, the other caucuses just kind of go. But the CPC was still trying to hold the line, and we had a meeting, and Joe Biden called into the meeting, and Pramila put him on speakerphone, and he made his pitch. And I'll just leave it there for now.
Wow.
Write about this in the book. The title is Unpolished. This was the first time I was in Congress. I was like, oh, shit, my life is a movie. This is a movie. We're in a movie. I couldn't believe what happened that day.
I am so excited to read this. And you're teasing us, but that's a good teaser. I can't begrudge you that, because now people are going to pick up the book.
We'll put a pre-order link in the show notes.
Please. You could sign up for the waiting list right now, unpolishedbook.com. Get on the waiting list so you can have it first when it comes out. But you're right about Build Back Better. That's exactly right. And then, as we know, it never went anywhere. Joe Manchin killed the rest of his history. But the story of how we got there is crazy.
That's crazy. And I'm glad you mentioned the Congressional Black Caucus, because I wanted to at least talk about the Michigan Senate race with you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Jim Clyburn and the CBC PAC have now endorsed Haley Stevens.
Of course.
Over Abdul Al-Sayed. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's par for the course, right? I mean, many CBC members, if not most, are funded by AIPAC and supported by AIPAC and have been supported by AIPAC for a very long time, including Leader Jeffries. Haley Stevens is one of AIPAC's darlings. On the one hand, that's on the one hand. On the other hand, a lot of this is relational, right? She's a colleague of theirs, and
she's a House member.
She's been a House member for a while. She's a colleague. That does hold weight. Like, I don't want the audience not to think it does, right?
Like, we try to give that context to even when, like, say, AOC isn't endorsing, say, Malek Kiros against Daggett. Daggett is in the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and you have to have a working relationship.
Yes.
And so it's a balance.
It's a balance, and Daggett wasn't like terrible, terrible, terrible.
Right.
Also,
right.
But yeah, so that is not surprising that the CBC endorsed Haley. Again, colleagues funded by the same people. It just is what it is. I mean, the CBC endorsed Elliot Engel against me, and I'm black. You know what I'm saying?
I remember now.
So, like, that actually happened. But the bigger conversation here is, and not just about this race in general, is the CBC as part of the political and Democratic establishment. And part of maintaining that establishment, from caving on Build Back Better to this endorsement to Haley Stevens and so many other things. It's just a political establishment that is no longer tenable for the American people, and it needs to change. And CBC members, in my opinion, need to be part of the leadership that facilitates that change in the spirit of what our ancestors died for, to even put us all, not just black people, but us all in the positions that we have today.
Do you think that it's part of the problem with the CBC is that many in leadership are from like southern districts that are heavily gerrymandered, and that can kind of create perverse incentives for some of them?
I mean, possibly. I think that's part of it. I think the overall black establishment infrastructure has been heavily supported by special interests and the apex of the world as well, right? So, like, I'm talking about, like, HBCUs, Black Church, Divine Nine, you know, fraternal organizations, mm-hmm. the Congressional Black Caucus. I mean, APAC has had a hand, and special interests have had a hand in supporting this infrastructure in the black community for a very long time. And many of the narratives and messages and conversations that happen in those spaces align with maintaining the status quo, where black leadership, again, has always been at the forefront, has been like civil rights that has benefited everyone. Mm-hmm. But like now we're talking about, we need a political revolution, and we need black leadership to be a major part of that. And that means like pivoting and taking on some of the institutions and interests that have been very harmful to our democracy. Again, like APAC, not to beat a broken record.
No, I exactly right. I guess I wanted to also touch on ICE too. Maybe we can play this with Jamal, the ex-wife. Yeah. So this ICE officer who shot Juan Sebastian Guerrero in Maine, apparently, according to his wife, who spoke to the Associated Press, had serious mental health issues since childhood, had been abusive, she alleges, and had been violent in the past and threatening relatives, including there's a voicemail that she shared with the Associated Press that he said he thought someone should slit her throat.
Yeah, he said, "I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but I'm saying it should happen to you."
So this is the guy who killed that man in Maine, and here is the interview with his ex-wife about this ICE officer.
David, back in November, brought up that he had accepted a job with ICE. I thought of that it was just a delusional thing because I'm used to him talking crazy, so to speak. So I said, yeah, sure, you are, buddy, you know. I didn't realize that he was actually working for ICE until yesterday, and I was completely shocked because I'm like, how do you keep getting into these jobs where you're around guns all the time? I asked him what was going on. He told me that I don't need to be answering questions for anybody, that all I needed to know was that it was a justified shooting and that he did do it. And he claimed that this man had tried to run him over. And I said, I don't see that in anything, and I've watched it from all angles. All I seen is how the car was going in circle after the fact. And then he's like, well, I need you to lie about my character because this is how, like, this is what it comes down to is my character. I don't want you talking about any of the abuse in our relationship. Like, this is literally about me, actually. I told him that I was not going to lie for him, that I've waited years to speak my truth. I've been silenced long enough, and now I need to come out with everything because a man lost his life. It was abuse, not only to me, but to our daughter. And even being divorced from him, I've dealt with harassing phone calls, threats of him wanting to kill me. I believe that this man was murdered. I believe that David's mental health played a part in what happened. I think what happened was he was standing there during that operation, had a PTSD moment and hit fight or flight mode. And unfortunately, a man lost his life due to it.
So this is the kind of person that has signed up for ICE under the Trump administration. They're not doing any screening. They're pretending that they are. They're getting a badge and a gun. They're not forcing them to wear body cameras. Someone spoke to The Intercept. I think it was ICE officials that said that they saw that there were body cameras on the officers in Maine, but they clearly just weren't turned on. And it just shows...
What I've heard is that they aren't paying for this, and who knows what to believe, but they aren't paying for the subscription to that, so they essentially just work as walkie-talkies.
Oh, lovely. I mean, but like, body cameras, what are we talking about here? I mean, can you talk about that a bit? Because, like, it's just... 95, 96, 97% of the time, whatever, those body cameras are going to be used to facially scan anybody that they're having an interaction with. Maybe it will pick up on officers doing horrible things in immigration enforcement, but they might just turn them off. And we also have endless footage of the killings of Alex Pretty and Renee Good, and there's still been no accountability. It's just like, we need to only be talking about abolishment, and that's
oh,
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Abolishment and prosecution.
Yeah.
For those who are murdering people in our streets. And, you know, and this is, you know, again, I write about this quite frequently in the book, because this is not just an ICE issue. This is a local law enforcement issue across the country, right? Like, what is the screening process when someone applies to be a member of law enforcement in, you know, pick your, you know, smaller city or town or area, you know, who are these people who have guns and badges, right? And how do they even get onto a force? And then when they get onto the force and do something like this, how are they held accountable, if at all? And what we've seen is, you know, public outrage and, like, public action leads to accountability and has to be done to lead to any sort of accountability, to lead to any sort of conversation. You need the public to, like, rise up, mm-hmm. right? You know, I'm thinking of the gentleman, oh, man, the gentleman who was jogging in Georgia.
Hunted down by...
And two dudes just hunted him down. These weren't law enforcement, but these were, like, George Zimmerman type characters who...
Arbery?
Yeah.
Ahmaud Arbery, yeah.
Yeah, right? Well, tell me the name again.
Ahmaud Arbery.
Ahmaud Arbery,
yeah.
Who was going for a jog.
Yep.
This father and son hunted him down, killed him, and the public didn't hear about it, I think, till weeks or maybe a month or more later, and then the outrage led to accountability. And so first, how are you even getting... The application should dismiss you from even being able to join law enforcement, get a gun and a badge. And then when you get one, how are you being held accountable? And this is why, like, after, you know, George Floyd was lynched, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act was such an important piece of legislation, moved through the House quickly. And then Cory Booker and Tim Scott, you know, just couldn't come to an agreement. Wow, what a surprise. And the bill didn't move in the Senate at all. And in that bill, we wanted to end qualified immunity, if
yes.
I remember correctly, which is, you know, because right now it's very hard to hold law enforcement accountable when they do something like this. Even in New York City, a place like New York City, there's like millions, tens of millions set aside to settle cases as opposed to holding law enforcement officials accountable. So ending qualified immunity, someone having, you know, you could be in law enforcement and do something really bad in one city and then transfer to another city and it doesn't follow you to that city. So now you're law enforcement again in another place. It's just, you know, further emphasized the need for overall criminal justice reform. Of course, it emphasizes the need to abolish ICE and then prosecute ICE. But also going back to what we always talk about, which is electoral politics.
Yeah.
We got to vote these people out of office, man. And we need everybody to organize and everybody to vote, because that's still an issue. We still have not 80% of people voting, right? We're not reaching the numbers we need to reach to really get champions in office that could really change things.
Yeah, and it does just, when I see something like this, you see how it's basically a federalizing of broken windows policing.
Oh, yeah.
And what communities, particularly in cities of color, have been dealing with for decades and decades. And even the use of gang databases, right? Like the way that they're putting together these lists of immigrants and trying to round them up. like, for years and years, gang databases have served to essentially tag people with some sort of vague criminality to trump up charges against them, whether it's a gun charge or a drug charge, and then that's with them forever. And we're the number one jailer on the planet.
Still. We're not talking about it as much, but we still are.
But you know who's... Yes. I mean, Zoran came up earlier. I was super moved by him going to Rikers and watching the World Cup.
Yes.
Like, that's something where...
And that wasn't his first time in Rikers.
No.
Like, he's been there multiple times in just, like, 6 months.
And a pollster or a pundit or a consultant would say, hey, that's not... There's no political advantage for you to go there and, you know, be seen with criminals or whatever. But it was just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And, like, he's using his political capital to bring up conversations that have been told, we were told after, you know, George Floyd and everything, we're too woke and we're damaging us electorally. That, it just wasn't the case. You just have to foreground how to make people's lives better materially. And then no one's talking about him going to Rikers in this negative way. No one's talking about how he stands up for trans people, which were seen as too touchy for other Democrats to handle, but it's because he leads with his affordability agenda, and then all of that stuff is folded in.
He leads with his humanity.
Yeah.
The reason why I've always loved Zoran is because I see his humanity, and you could feel his humanity when you, the way he shakes your hand,
yep,
the way he has a conversation, the way he gives you a pound and a hug. There's a humanity that leads his politics, and what we all want is we want our elected officials to be public servants and to lead with human rights first. Like, if they did that, we would, like, solve, like, a lot of problems. And, like, the stuff that they claim to care about, they mean it, like, the psycho capitalists, the stuff that they care about, like, GDP would actually improve.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you...
New York's doing super well economically right now.
Right. And it could be doing even better if we gave the people that we've redlined and marginalized access and opportunity in the same ways we give other communities. Mm-hmm. We would have a better GDP. We would have better health outcomes. We would have better education outcomes. We have better social outcomes. We would spend less on healthcare overall, and we would spend less on jail and prisons overall and law enforcement, because people would have less freaking stress in their lives.
Yeah.
Engaging each other as human beings first is this, what are we even doing some of the time? Like, being in the house used to be so frustrating because it's like, what? We can't raise the federal minimum wage, really? Like, we can't figure that out. We're still at $7.50?
It's insane.
Like, what? We can't do that. We can't provide health care. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. We mentioned the Ahmaud Arbery case. I just wanted to, because I know you've been posting a lot about what's happening with Nolan Wells in this case. What's the latest update? For people that aren't aware, Nolan Wells is an 18-year-old kid who was reported missing in I think this is Mississippi, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And basically he had gone on a July 4th boating trip with some friends, a group of white kids, and he had been missing, and it appears like his phone was erased, and they've now found his body.
It's terrifying. So as a black man, this is terrifying. As a black man with two black sons and one black daughter, this is terrifying. This is our worst nightmare. Allowing our child to go hang out, which is natural to do. Kids hang out. They do stuff all the time. Allowing our child to hang out with some friends, and the friends come back without your child, but they have his cell phone. And we are not really quite sure what happened. What we're hearing is he was left with a girl. They left him behind with a girl. First of all, there's code, right? Like, when you hang out with your boys or your friends or your girlfriends, y'all leave together, y'all come back together.
And not on an island. Like, they had left him on an island.
Left
they
him
were
on some
a boat
island.
Trip. Yeah.
Like, right? So this is, like, our worst nightmare as parents. Parents of any background, but particularly as black parents, because it's like, we always are looking over. I'm talking as a black man with black children, as a black parent. We're always looking over our shoulder, thinking and feeling like some shit might happen.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the police. It could be some fucking Nazi asshole in the mall, which that's happened to me. Someone just fucking approached me and tried to fight with me and call me a piece of shit. That's happened before. It could be our kids going on a trip. Like, it's just our worst nightmare. And when I saw this happen, I'm just like, what the hell? Like, what is this? And so that I don't have any more updates other than that, other than to share how completely terrifying that this is, and to share also, because I saw some commentary about this on the line online. It's important for like leftist, socialist, political people to talk about this stuff too, right? So I appreciate you, Emma, talking about this and allowing me to speak about it. But like, you know, Ryan Grimm and all, like the whole ecosystem, you got to talk about black shit too.
Yeah.
Don't just talk to us about winning elections for socialists. Like, and this goes into the whole other conversation, right? Like, is DSA anti-black and all of that? DSA is not anti-black, but like, white people need to talk about black shit more.
It has you know to be what I'm saying? More like, intersectional. That's
what, has to be more intersectional and intentional, right? Because, one, we're all here because of like the sacrifices of black people. Like, that's just a fact, right? Like, from enslavement to black laws to lynching to Jim Crow to all of it. But also, like, you know, as we move together in our collective humanity and our collective healing, we got to make sure everyone's a part of that conversation, regardless of how messed up the CBC tends to be, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I just want to thank you for elevating that. And I just want, the only thing I can say is it's terrifying. So it's our worst nightmare, what happened to Nolan Wells.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you saw, but Colin Kaepernick is funding an independent autopsy. Mm-hmm. What a bad guy. We were told he's such a bad, I mean, like, but
why does he even have to do that?
But why does he? But because it's Mississippi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Why did it take a week for them to even like really look into this case? And they had to get Ben Crump to be, you know, the kind of star attorney to come in to get this taken seriously.
I mean, just in New York a year or two ago, there was an incarcerated person who was like beaten to death by some COs like upstate.
Yep.
Black dude. Right. And again, I just want to share with the like sort of progressive left socialist audience, whatever we want to call them, like. It seems for me, it seems like a few times a year, some horrific, heinous killing happens to someone black or brown. And it's a reminder for me about my own experience with police brutality when I was 12, but also like watching Rodney King get the living shit beat out of him when I was like in 92 and those officers be acquitted on a local level.
Yeah.
Right. And it's on. And that's part. That's a major part of our politics, too, that we have to champion going forward.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Jamal Bowman, anything else you want to plug outside of just...
Unpolished, baby!
I mean, giving
go
us...
Go to unpolishedbook.com.
Do you have another
join
teaser?
The waiting list.
I mean...
And, when's it out?
When's it?
November 17th.
Yeah. Do you have another teaser? Because, I mean, as I've been saying, like, you're okay with just, like, taking off the gloves these days.
I want to go after...
You already called Gottheimer a bitch.
There's so. Some local... There's some Yonkers politics happening right now.
Okay.
I have a video that I'm waiting to post about this guy, John Rubo. He's a city council person. He might be running for mayor. But, like... There's a bring you hyper local real quick. Okay. I live in Yonkers. I represent Yonkers in Congress. Leslie Ocando Thomas. She worked for the city for 12 years, serving the people of Yonkers. She decides she's going to run for county legislator, which is her right in a democracy. John Rubo and a fucking machine fires her from her job because she decided to run against the machine. Took her, I believe, six-figure salary away. Now she struggles to keep food on the table for her family and a roof over her head because John Rubo and the machine fired her because she chose to exercise her right in a democracy to run for office.
That's insane.
She's a woman. She's a Latina. She's served Yonkers for over a decade in the city council as an employee. This guy's a disgrace and an embarrassment. And this is the kind of shit that happens all the time.
Yonkers also has its own dirty Yonkers political has machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And
seen the show Show Me a Hero.
But, yes.
That's good.
Right.
Good show.
Up to now with the Spano machine. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just like, this is why like working class people and people from marginalized communities don't run for office or don't even think about challenging power, because it's like, I'm going to lose my job? This guy fired up? Yeah.
Well, I mean, what happened to Daria Lisa Chevalier with that smear campaign against her? I mean, she was being harassed in the street.
In the street, yes.
If you're a leftist and you're a person of color and you choose to run for office, you are going to get the worst of the machine thrown at you.
Abdul's dealing with it right now.
Yeah. So anyway, Jamal Bowman, it's always a pleasure, especially to have you in person. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and then we'll be right back to wrap up the first part of this program. See you in a second. We're back, folks. Gonna wrap up the first part of this program, head into the fun half. We have a lot of people saying it's a best of nomination. I mean, just for Jamal calling Gottheimer and Torres bitches.
Yeah, great.
That is grandma.
That was so grandma of him. Matt, what is happening in the Matt Leckian media universe?
Brendan James on Jacobin Show coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon after Majority Report here. Who controls who in the U.S.-Israel relationship? Blowback has a new series called No Daylight about that question, and it's interesting to historicize it over time as Noah and Brendan do. So, yeah, check that out. Great conversation with Brendan.
All right. If you can, if you have the ability, please become a member. Join themajorityreport.com. It helps us stay resilient in these times. Keeps giving you a show, you know, Monday through Friday, every week. Join themajoryreport.com.
That's $200 of in the economy.
And look, it's a lot cheaper than $200.
That's not even $200.
Not even. All right,
folks. The world's smartest man.
Yes.
Affordability, affordability.
We'll see you in the phone half.
Okay, Emma, please.
Well, I feel that my voice is sorely lacking on the Majority Report.
Wait, whoa. Look, Sam is unpopular.
I do deserve a vacation at Disney World. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome Emma to the show.
It is Thursday.
Yeah, I think you need to take over for Sam.
Yes, please.
Sir, I'm gonna pause you right there.
Wait, what?
You can't encourage Emma to live like this. And I'll tell you why.
She was offered a tour, sushi, and poker with the boys. Sushi and poker with the boys. Who was offered a tour?
Yeah.
Sushi and poker with the boys.
What?
Tour? Sushi and poker.
Tim's upset.
Tour?
Yeah.
Sushi and poker with the boys. Who was offered a tour? Sushi and
That's what we call the biz.
Tour? Sushi and poker with the boys.
Right.
Tour? Sushi and poker.
We're gonna get demonetized.
I just think that what you did to Tim Pool was mean.
Free speech.
That's not what we're about here. Well, look at how sad he's become now. You shouldn't even talk about it because I think you're responsible.
I probably am in a certain way, but let's get to the meltdown here.
Ugh. Sushi and poker with the boys.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Sushi.
I'm sorry, I'm losing my fucking mind.
So it's offered a tour?
Yeah.
Sushi and poker with the boys.
Logic.
Tour? Sushi and poker with the boys. Boy.
Tour? I think I'm like a little kid.
Had this debate 7,000 times.
A little kid. Think I'm like a little kid. Think I'm like a big tour.
I'm losing my fucking mind.
Some people just don't understand.
So I'm not trying to be a dick right now, but like, I absolutely think the U.S. should be providing me with a wife and kids.
That's not what we're talking about here.
It's not a fun job. Tour?
That's a real thing. That's real thing. Real thing.
Boss. Willy Wonka tour?
That's a real thing. That's real thing. Real thing.
What's that offered a tour?
That's a real thing. That's real thing. Real thing.
Boss. That's
a tour?
A real thing.
That's real thing. Real thing.
Boss. That offered a tour?
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Rogan has done it again.
That offered a tour?
That's a real thing. That's
poker with the boys.
I think he might be blowing it out of proportion.
Real thing.
That's poker with the boys.
That offered a tour?
That's a real thing.
That's
poker.
Let's go, Joe.
Tour? Sushi.
Take it easy, Tim.
Tour, sushi, and poker.
Things have really gotten out of hand.
Sushi and poker with the boys.
Delusional.
Tour.
Deluded.
Sushi.
You don't have a clue as to what's going on. Live YouTube.
Sam has
Twitch,
the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Poggers.
Sam doesn't want to do this show anymore.
Can't do it anymore.
It was so much easier when the Majority Report was just you. You were happy.
Let's change the subject.
Rangers and Knicks are doing great.
Now shut up. Don't want people saying reckless things on your program.
That's
now,
one of the most difficult parts about this show.
This is a pro-killing podcast.
I'm thinking maybe it's time we bury the hatchet.
Left is best. Trump. Violet.
Tour.
Don't be foolish and don't fucking tweet at me and don't bitch. The way Emma has cucked all of these people.
Love it. That's where my heart is, so yeah. I wrote my honors thesis about it.
Oh,
sorry.
She wrote an honors thesis.
Yeah.
I guess I should hand the main mic to you now.
You are to the right of the on foreign policy.
We already fund Israel, dude. Are you against that?
That's a tougher question. I don't have an answer to.
Incredible theme song.
Hi, Bumbler.
Emma Viglin, absolutely one of my favorite people. Actually, not just in the game, like, period.
We are back, folks. It is the fun half. We will take some calls today at some point. Will from Indiana. I know too much info. You three have replaced Sam with a body double, and when he comes back, he will just agree with everything you say with no pushback. Seriously, though, in spite of a bumpy couple of weeks news-wise, great job on the show, as always. We have to unite as a left the best we can. And you, as you and Jamal said, Emma, we have to be intersectional and intentional. Never give up. Never give in. Left is best. Well said. Left is rage. Amazing interview. I always love hearing Jamal speak. Best of interview. Write that down, Brian. Left is best.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Maddie Moron. Cory Booker and Tim Scott sounds like a lover's quarrel. More adventurous says they need to punish officers who turned the cams off when policing. I have seen body cam videos of exposed officers abusing their power. Not sure if wanting to do away with them completely. I mean, look, I think that as a net, for the most part, it is probably a Fourth Amendment violation. And like, we could do things for policing, like say, maybe traffic cops aren't like wearing, don't have guns on them.
I mean, this entire thing, this is the problem though. It would be nice if, yeah, cops were accountable to a democratic control. They are not. So, it'd be nice if they didn't turn the cameras off. They turned the cameras off. It'd be nice if they turned over the footage. They don't turn over the footage.
Yeah.
It would be nice. This is actually the problem we have to deal with. Police departments are not democratically accountable in this country. Like, I mean, even, like, statutorily, that's a qualified immunity thing we're talking about. But even in terms of, like, hey, yeah, can you, like, not destroy evidence? They're not. They're lawless. So that's something we have to deal with. And people can, like, you know, quibble with defund this or abolition demand that. The central point remains that police departments are not accountable to us as citizens in a democracy. And that needs to be addressed.
Yep. Rory in Minnesota, this is so not important, but I love the format of CNN live analysis. It's kind of like the format I like during these live speeches, being able to see the analysis and push back and not have the speech interrupted. CNN didn't air it live. I think they didn't air it live on purpose so they could do the fact checks.
The pop-up video. Like,
yes, because
VH1.
Everyone is so afraid of getting sued because Trump keeps lying about the election.
And is, I mean, even before like the election lies, it's like in his first term, it's like you're running these speeches for him to just like demonize immigrants and like say this horrible stuff. And the idea that it's newsworthy to just turn over your airwaves to it. Actually, that's the problem.
Well, prior to that, there had been some best practices in broadcasting that they would only be selective about which primetime addresses they would air.
Yeah.
Obama and Biden both had addresses that were turned down by the networks because they were deemed too political in nature.
Oh, yeah, that famous Dark Biden speech. They didn't air that one.
Oh, right.
With
yeah.
The red walls.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. famous is putting it a little bit.
I did a sketch on Instagram about it.
Okay,
so
there you go.
Famous.
You're invested in it being a bigger story. Follow Brian Vokey on Instagram.
5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, go deep in the archives. let's cover this really quickly and we'll get the scary stuff out of the way. So here is Stephen Miller, the White House Homeland Security advisor and Nazi vampire who is driving some of the most sadistic impulses of the Trump administration, has been pushing what Ken Klippenstein has been reporting on doggedly for quite a while, the criminalization, essentially, of left-wing activism. NSPM 7 is this directive that tells federal law enforcement essentially to prioritize targeting left-wing groups, and that includes people who they describe as like gender extremists, meaning anybody who's an LGBTQ activist, pro-Palestine activist, DSA.
I mean, look at all the pro-Palestine activists they've already rounded up under the immigration stuff.
Yeah.
Just widen that net.
Widening it and telling the FBI and others to prioritize this. So then when you pair this with last night, Trump going out and red baiting and saying that China's trying to overturn the results of our elections, you can see how they're going to try to create some sort of national security excuse to crack down on the civil liberties of left wingers in this country. If they're successful, I mean, that's not necessarily, you know, that story hasn't been written yet. And the midterms are going to be really important in at least stymieing them to a degree. But here is Stephen Miller explaining to, again, this was a group of foreign diplomats, but you can see behind
I think Mark
him,
Carney was in attendance. Good old, you know, the we need to change our ways, Mark Carney.
Right. Like, the backdrop says the resurgence of political terrorism, and he is
he's the face of it.
Right, yeah, I mean, right.
Sorry, is this to do with us bombing bridges in Iran?
No, no, no. This
girls
is
a, schools?
This is about telling these foreign diplomats and officials that they need to join in on the Trump administration's all-out war on left-wing political terrorists in the United States. Okay.
President Trump issued a directive. In our parlance, it's called a National Security Presidential Memorandum, or NSPM, NSPM 7, to be exact, that directs, for the first time in American history, all of our law enforcement and intelligence agencies to work together to disrupt, identify, defund, debank, arrest, and prosecute these political terrorists that are operating in our country. It's very important to understand that left-wing political terrorism seeks as its ultimate end the overthrow of our system and form of government. And we've seen this has taken place many times in many places throughout the years, and Secretary Rubio has provided you many examples. Left-wing terrorism always ends in bloodshed, misery, and suffering. It only can travel in one direction. There's no point at which the left-wing terrorist is satisfied with his gains and ceases progressing.
Projection.
Inevitably, left to run its course, it always becomes a gulag.
Projection.
It always becomes the mass imprisonment of political enemies, the stripping of their rights and freedoms, inflicting immense pain, humiliation, suffering, in order to establish complete and total control. Control through psychological and physical and actual terror.
Okay.
And we have to...
He just said exactly what they're doing. And he knows it. They know it. They know it. This is a classic fascist playbook. You're attempting to disarm the criticisms of you on the merits on from the left by accusing your enemy of doing the exact same thing that you're doing. We're talking about gulags and being unrelenting and ideologically motivated and committing terrorism and just like trying to destroy society. Give me a break here.
It's also so ineffectual to say left-wing. You should say left-wing politics, not left-wing terrorism.
Right.
Ends in bloodshed and a gulag. Like that does.
Yes.
People are just hearing terrorism. Of course, terrorism ends in bloodshed.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. I don't know. It's
well,
just, like, stupid.
He's arguing against the idea that left-wing terrorism could have good outcomes.
Yeah, accidentally. Like,
you shouldn't be defensive on that front, Steve. Yeah. You're kind of playing from behind there.
But, like, what is scary is they're going to try to use not just, like, federal law enforcement for investigations, but probably the Treasury or the IRS to target groups that they deem to be too far left. This is a part of, like, actually an escalating strategy by the capitalist class. I headline this, but they're just trying to basically suppress all dissent through either... you know, prosecuting them from the federal level with this fascist administration, or what James Dolan is doing by going after Wired and suing them for accurately reporting on his mass surveillance database of LGBTQ artists at Madison Square Garden. Like, they're trying to make sure that any kind of dissent is criminalized. And I know that's a civil lawsuit, but it feels like we're like, they understand that they have to be incredibly defensive right now, and they're being quite aggressive against reporters in particular.
Yeah, they're digging in, and this is the history of this country. I would recommend one book on the subject, The Burglary, The Discovery of J. Edgar Hoover's Secret FBI, in which a number of, I believe, Catholic anti-war activists broke into an FBI office. And righteously, I would underline, stole a bunch of documents that turned out to expose COINTELPRO, the massive infiltration of left-wing and civil rights movements under J. Edgar Hoover. And the shocking thing was, A, prior to that, when you had mentioned that the FBI was spending a huge amount of its budget on those sorts of activities, you would be looked at as crazy. And then you actually saw how much time they were spending on it. And it was, surprise, a huge amount at a time where there was, like, you know, serial killers walking the streets and stuff like that. A huge part of these budgets were spent towards having people go undercover toward anti-war meetings and either infiltrate them or disrupt them in certain ways. Now this is just them saying we're going to put a lot of money to this openly, and this will that they'll do the exact same thing. They'll send people undercover. They'll inform on it, and the, like this, we're seeing now with like the Code Pink, Singham, Neville Singham, I believe, and Fergie Chambers. They're going to go after the legal and financial infrastructure, and you're going to probably see like NGOs and stuff go at it. They also tried
Media Matters too. Elon Musk suing Media Matters. I know this is different.
Yes. These no,
are,
I mean,
but the billionaires are working in conjunction with the state on this.
I mean, go back even further. Peter Thiel taking out Gawker. I mean, this is how they play.
Yeah. J Money, the violent founding of this country was far left for its time, but far left terrorism supposedly always ends badly. He fundamentally hates this country.
Oh, I would also say if you're interested in supporting an organization, of course, like ACLU is maybe the bigger ones. I would put your money toward Defending Rights and Dissent. Chip Gibbons, who we've had on this program and is a regular on Left Reckoning, is active over there. And they have a really good eye on this sort of stuff. And the NSPM7 stuff. So, yeah, go support Defending Rights and Dissent.
And if you're a part of a left-wing group, be aware of these tactics.
Yeah, if anybody new shows up to the group in like the next several months and says, hey, here's some explosive materials, go plant these, I would say, yeah, I think this person might be from Stephen Miller's office.
Nicola, this is why I say it's impossible to reach our goals as leftists without blood. Okay, all right, I'm not reading that.
Yeah, relax.
Chris from Memphis, one big goal of speeches like Miller's is to scare us away from resisting. Don't let it work. Keep the pressure on the fascist regime. We outnumber them.
I mean, we're already seeing Mahmoud Khalil spent 100 days in prison and missed the birth of his children. This is going to ground people up and impact their lives significantly. And also, it's to be expected, and we need to fight against it.
Some guy, the U.S. legal system is like a bunch of hammers who have forbidden us from using any other tools. Occam's Laser, hey, MR crew, my cat Emma passed away this Saturday after battling with cancer for a year. Can I get an affordability to put a smile on mine, hopefully her lips? I'm so sorry.
Affordability.
R.I.P. to Emma. Chris from Memphis, Homeland Security basically does nothing in Memphis but racially profile motorists and terrorize immigrant neighborhoods. They're just thugs.
Yeah, there was the guy who was the FBI whistleblower who was like, yeah, I got tired of like staking out mosques.
Right.
Like my entire job is just to like watch Muslims go to pray.
Yep. So Mark Wayne Mullen is the new Department of Homeland Security head, replacing Kristi Noem. And I don't know why he has to weigh in on this whatsoever. You're DHS, bro. But he's has to humiliate himself to appeal to the dear leader. This is, a press conference on election security, which he is somehow involved in. I'm still not understanding what this means.
Homeland Security.
Okay. I figured out their racist map of their logic. So they're claiming that there are all these illegals that are voting in elections. And I guess Mark Wayne Mullen would be tasked with sending out the ICE Gestapo to terrorize people at polling stations. You know, intimidation tactics at polling stations like they used to do in the Jim Crow South with law enforcement. We just want to do that on the federal level now. And I guess Mark Wayne Mullen is going to be doing that. Here he is doing Trump's complaining for him about the fact that NBC and ABC did not broadcast Trump's speech where he lied a bunch of times and used very shoddy intelligence to claim that the Chinese government was trying to get Joe Biden elected in 2020.
About the major networks not willing to carry the President of the United States' address to the nation on election security. How shameful.
That is grandma.
I think it was ABC, NBC, and I don't know if CBS. Did CBS carry it? Anyway, CBS carried it. So ABC and NBC not carrying that? Why? What are they trying to cover up? Why wouldn't they want to inform the American people?
Can you pause it for a second? You know, it may have aired on other networks, but if NBC and ABC don't broadcast it,
it's a cover up.
It's a cover up. Where could I possibly find the YouTube of Trump's address to the nation, or the transcript on the White House website, or a link to it on literally any outlet that I want? But not having it available on every network broadcast out, like some sort of V for Vendetta style address to the country, is a cover up. It's a, you know, when you close your eyes, that's a cover up. They have to be just like pried open like this, or else, you know, how are you supposed to be able to see?
That, why? What are they trying to cover up? Why wouldn't they want to inform the American people? Why are they calling themselves a news outlet if they're not actually trying to put the news out there?
He almost got lost in a very simple sentence.
Can you also, Mr. Mullen, can you also explain what news is? Because news is not the president's claims. Even for Democrats.
No, news was a misspoke.
Also, Mr. Mullen, I have a question.
That was a misspoke.
What's the definition of sanity?
Why are they calling themselves a news outlet if they're not actually trying to put the news out there? We wasn't giving spin on the election. The president wasn't trying to relitigate what happened in 2020, although he definitely could at this point. The president was giving facts. What we have exposed, what the Biden administration covered up.
The burn pegs.
What the intelligence community held from the American people, Congress, and the executive branch, and we're putting it out there. And yet, two major networks didn't want to cover it. I think the question really should say why.
Cover his speech.
No, but what specifically did they uncover that we're supposed to be so
outraged by?
China said he wasn't hot.
Yeah, right. China said some bad things about him. His own director of national intelligence said that China maybe considered doing an influence campaign on Joe Biden's behalf, but then determined it wasn't worth it. And that was covered up by Trump's own staff in his first term.
But
and
again, so what? Like, I don't care if they did an influence campaign on social media.
You're such a traitor.
Again, we influence everyone's elections. Like, forget the Israel thing for a second.
Who's influencing elections?
We kidnap world leaders. Fucking Maduro is sitting next to the Micro Center down in Brooklyn in
Matt's
in
favorite
solitary
fact.
Confinement right now. We just said that you're ours now.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance, the vice president who's supposed to be America First, went over to fucking Hungary, which most Americans couldn't find on a map, to say, go elect this guy, please. You need to elect this guy, please. And he lost. And we're supposed to worry that Xi Jinping said maybe we should have some bots say Trump is Winnie the Pooh. Like, or wait, that's
right.
He's winning.
And he doesn't like that.
He doesn't like that.
Yes,
but
right.
Basically do that to Trump.
Right,
like,
right. Cheeto memes.
Who cares? And also, Putin said bad things about Biden. Who cares? America.
Mean, right. And like, I mean, it's just incredible to talk about foreign interference in our elections when AIPAC is like spending record amounts of money to preserve their assets in our Congress.
Say why? Because they sure covered the other part of it when they were saying that it was the most secure election ever. What facts did they have? Because they didn't have facts. They were taking someone's word for it. President Trump gave facts. Today we're giving facts.
Okay.
So people should be able to see this through this sort of horseshit where he's like just assures you that he is giving you facts despite no facts have been presented.
I think that people kind of are, as Jamal Bowman was saying to us earlier, people are hungry for the truth and they're sick of everything being public relations and paid for media, which is so much of what we have to consume right now. Like, our information economy is anemic.
Dying, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been captured by special interests.
Look at the role we play. Sorry to get a little navel-gazy for a second, but like, you know, the role you played in the McMorrow thing this Rokana sort of journey in the West Bank now. that's a role that like a foreign bureau for like Reuters should probably have been playing. And we, us, an independent
losers
outlet,
in an office that I wish people could see.
Well,
where
people
we're
have
operating.
Started seeing it on the recent pictures on Instagram. They're like, yeah. Why do you operate out of a submarine?
That's what someone said. Yeah. That's what said.
And that's because this is a long-term trend even preceding the internet, but really accelerated by it, that the news business is collapsing. The money isn't there. The employment isn't there. There are less people working despite massively higher population in the news than there used to be when like most of us were born. And there's a lot more people, like Emma said, in the lying arts of marketing and advertising and public relations.
Because that pays and journalism doesn't pay. Why would
and
you
journalism
get into communications?
Only paid, journalism only paid briefly because of the accident of how print advertising was the main dominant form, and that meant every locality got to get its own newspaper. Once it became national and advertising started spreading out through different forms of media, and it wasn't just your local newspaper, that's the money has there's been a like a sucking sound with all of it draining out the bottom, and this is where we're at now. We're back in sort of the a 19th century area where everything's ideological pamphleteers, and that's where we're at right now.
That's dark.
Yep.
All right, we're going to
join the majority port talk.
I mean, the dark, it really took a dark turn when you emphasized that like we have way more responsibility than we should.
I mean, you gave Haley Stevens a 7-point lead.
I guess I did. I mean, even
we're gonna get him.
Right, because of the Plattner knockout effect.
No, I meant the Mallory dropping out.
Damn it. Right. You're right. You're right.
Be careful what you wish for with the monkey's paw over there.
She's really sticking it to you.
Just a little bit of it. A little bit of
enthusiasm.
All right, open up the phone line, 646-257.
Give them the old heave-ho.
646-257-3920 is the number. Shitbreak says, have y'all noticed that everyone who claims to be a libertarian is actually an authoritarian?
Really notice libertarians anymore.
I know,
they're gone.
They're not in vogue.
Dave
like,
Smith killed him when he had Trump come speak at their event.
Yeah, he sort of bought and sold and packaged him up for a guy who started the Iran war.
And, like, who do they have to hang their hat on? Massey? And Massey's going to be out of Congress in a second.
Well, and the irony being that whoever the guy is, isn't his name, like, Chance or something? The guy who's the leader of the Libertarian ticket now?
I have no idea.
He actually has, like, good policies on, like, the border and stuff that you would expect from somebody who didn't trust government policy. And the entire right just calls them cucks.
Yeah. Niall from Trinidad, Trump keeps saying ABC and NBC are failing networks, which nobody watches. So why are you broadcasting on a failing network?
Because they're old and they only understand network TV.
Yes. You wouldn't be failing if you showed my China speech.
NBC hasn't been number one since The Apprentice.
Yeah. Ever heard of it? Kirby says, somehow I forgot how monumentally stupid this man is.
Who, Mark Way?
I think Mark Way.
You sound insane.
What's the definition of insanity?
Insanity? Carolina Kami, I have worked in election administration for over a decade. I know people rightfully have a resentful relationship with elections, and so many across the political spectrum are fairly ignorant about how elections operate in the weeds, but it is very important to explain that what Trump is claiming China stole is in fact public record and easily available in most states. This is all likely just posturing, but it could easily be a way to justify limiting everyone's access to voter files, which would make electoral analysis and, most importantly, registration and get-out-the-vote efforts all but impossible.
Yeah, my understanding is China took that sort of voter data and wanted to do it to conduct sort of their own polling of so they could expect what our insane country was about to do.
It's like what the DNC and RNC does with publicly available information. Ad hominem. I need to vent. As I mentioned before, I work in a blood bank at a level one trauma center. We have patients who need dialysis. They don't have health insurance, so every week they come into the ER because they can't be denied care there. How the hell is this healthcare? It's despicable. Ramona Frankenstein, how do you do, fellow leftist transsexuals? Anybody want to say loudly into my chest that they want to kill the president? Cressy, no, Miller is such a goddamn freak. Him and Hegseth are two of the biggest freaks in this administration. Yep.
Who is it?
Miller and Hegseth?
That's a tough competition.
It's a tough competition.
You're right. No, it's like the Western Conference and like...
Yeah. Hogtown says, I don't believe Mark Carney was there, but Canada did send an official. Unsurprising and disappointing as a Canadian, but important to understand Carney is conservative.
Right, right.
All right, let's take a call really quickly. Calling from a 916 area code. Who's this? Where you calling from? 916?
Hello, this is Arthur Henry from Sacramento, California.
Arthur Henry from Sacramento, California. What's on your mind?
Oh, sorry. I actually used my last name, so okay.
All right. Well, I'm sorry.
It's all right. You can edit and post. So I know there's a lot of, bad news, especially, you know, with the madness of the speech last night. But I've been advocating for one of our candidates, actually in District 7, who beat in the primary vote an incumbent who's been holding that position since 1850. No, I'm kidding. But the point is, it's Doris Matsui, who's held that position for since her husband. Mm-hmm. So I want to get some good news and update that.
All right, good news. I'd like to hear it. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was bracing.
Oh, I hung up on the
left is
only first named person. Calling from a 620 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Oh my God, is this me?
This is you.
Holy smokes. This is Aiden.
Can't wait, hold on. Quiet. You're a little far from
your phone. Yeah.
And who's this? Where are you calling from?
Let me kill the AirPods.
Yes.
This is Aiden in Kansas City. How are you guys?
Aiden in Kansas City. We're doing well. How about you?
Good. My thing is really quick. They're trying to demolish a historic building in downtown Kansas City to put up a data center, which is really cool. if you just look up Kansas City Data Center Sunrise Movement, you can see all the stuff about it. There's a thing on Saturday to try to help people know, because there's like a thing on August 5th to give testimony. And so if you're in the area and you don't want heat and noise and a very ugly building in the downtown, then you should try to do something about it.
Proposed by private equity from a Miami-based equity firm. Oh
yeah. It's like it's everything. Like it's a historic building right in downtown, outside money. I mean, it's like the blood baby of terrible things about these data centers. It's like the worst thing possible. So I feel like they're just trying to like do the worst thing that they can so that they then have the precedent to do whatever they want. Like,
and
they
the fact that
bought...
it's downtown is unconscionable. That's right next to so many communities. They're not even putting it in some rural part of the state.
There's two elementary schools. There's a church. There's it's like next door to like a playground. Like it's ridiculous.
Is it a historically black or brown community?
Before it was redlined, yeah, but now it's all gentrified. But,
okay.
Why did they pick that location?
I don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to find the trail that like I pulled the property records and they bought it, or somebody bought it in like 2013 and then it goes dark. So we're trying to figure out the why, but it's such a
shame. Like, I mean, it's not the most important thing. Like the pollution and the energy costs and that sort of stuff is way more important. But I mean, Kansas City, and I was also like talking with Devin O'Shea about St. Louis. Like these downtown areas have been so decimated by developers, and like the little remaining historic buildings they have, to knock one down when you could build a data center anywhere else, and I mean, frankly, shouldn't. But to the extent that a data center is going to be built, to knock down a historic building and put it in downtown, so what? It can belch exhaust onto people. Like,
it's going to disrupt the entire skyline too.
Yeah.
And It's so ugly. And they're also trying to shoehorn it in as multi-purpose by putting some shitty coffee shop in the bottom of it.
Of course.
Like a Capital One cafe or some bullshit like that.
God, I feel badly for the
coffee
work.
Will be shaking work. Out of the cup.
Right.
This is why you should vote for Hartzell Gray.
Yes.
Yeah, we had him on last week.
I know. That was
why is this coffee so electric green and smoking?
It stays hot all the time because it's so hot around the building.
Yeah, exactly.
You can heat the coffee with the memory units.
Yep. All right. Well, appreciate the call. Thanks for the heads up.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
In San Francisco, there's this place, legendary venue called the Cow Palace. They're trying to turn that into a data center too right now. Very famous for one time Keith Moon passed out on drugs and a guy in the audience got up and finished the Who concert for Keith Moon and did a great job.
Oh, that's amazing.
But it's in a very densely populated, it's technically Daly City-ish San Francisco, but same thing, very densely populated part of the Bay.
That just makes no sense to me. But I guess they're just trying to push this through while, you know, before the public can catch up. WFTF Cody, I work as a voting sheriff in Lexington, Kentucky. We need more young people volunteering to work. You get paid usually. Everybody is aging out. Owen from Wisconsin. State of the Wisconsin governor primary. Centrist favorite Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez has dropped out after the fundraising and bookkeeping scandal just a week after Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley dropped out and endorsed her. Mandela Barnes attacks DSA candidate Hong as being a right-wing plant paid for by Tom Tiffany. Wow. Majority Report Peace Prize. Wait, they're trying to turn the Cow Palace into a data center? This is news to me, Brian. As a Bay Area resident, I'm going to look into this.
Yes. I have it pulled up here. It's part of 8 data centers that they're proposing in the Bay Area, and one of them is the Cow Palace.
That's crazy.
Reported in the San Francisco Chronicle.
Okay. We can do this here. So,
this is very funny.
Yeah. James Tallarico, he had a bit of a clapback here against Ken Paxton. Good for him. He looks like a Boy Scout. I'm always saying that, but he's, you know, gonna run an aggressive campaign against Paxton because Paxton is as vulnerable as you could possibly get in terms of candidates and scandals.
Better
and
to have a Boy
issues.
Scout than a geriatric philanderer.
Right. Who is like known to be a criminal in so many different ways.
Yeah, including the Republican Party impeached him or tried to impeach him down in Texas. And he spent last week traipsing around London with his mistress
on
the 4th of July.
Yeah, to celebrate America's independence by standing with our colonizers. How could he? But James Tallarico, he's got a little fight in him here. Here he is responding to Ken Paxton calling him low T.
Lieutenant Governor Patrick. Actually, let's take a look at him. He says you're not manly enough.
It was Patrick.
Okay, pause it. Says he's not manly enough, and I'm sorry, but that is a photo where Ken Paxton looks like a lesbian. And
like
I don't know.
The whole studio's laughing at him, like belly laughing at
grandma.
This horrible picture.
It's so bad.
That is grandma.
Truly, I mean, if you were to show me that photo, I would have thought that was an older woman.
I'm like, ma'am, did you forget your purse at the booth?
Right. I would have thought that is...
That is such a I'm a badass CEO jacket.
Exactly.
Like, that's what a CEO thinks a badass looks like.
Right. I would have thought that's Kara Swisher's mom. Okay, start over.
Lieutenant Governor Patrick. Actually, let's take a look at him. He says you're not manly enough. This guy says you're not manly enough to represent the people in Texas. And he's concerned about your low T levels.
Your manliness.
Your manliness. Oh,
yeah.
Is this,
you know,
is this a parody? Yeah. Tell us about their obsession with
Joe's like, I'll go beat his ass right now.
Joe Scarborough. I'm sorry.
He's like, too excited.
He's been on like a slight roll lately. Yeah, you might have to give him a bit of credit. You know,
off his meds.
He's been like speaking about Israel more critically. He defended Maragay in that bizarre exchange with the Zionist, and now he's like barely able to contain himself.
He can't even give Tallarico a chance to answer. Just wants to keep riffing.
Look at this little bitch.
This guy. I mean, this guy. Look at him.
T level.
Your manliness.
Your manliness. Oh,
yeah.
It's this.
You know,
is this a parody? Yeah. Tell us about their obsession with low T.
Yeah. When I first heard this low T thing, I had to look it up. Guys my age aren't really worried about that kind of thing, but I think people are really tired of this kind of professional wrestling in our politics.
Yeah.
These old guys who are lathered up in their fake tan, throwing these corny nicknames at each other. People
are wanting
serious leaders who are going to get this economy back on track, who are going to start to lower costs, who are going to start to raise pay. And people are catching on to the fact that these corny nicknames don't lower the cost of groceries, don't lower the cost of prescription drugs, don't lower the price of gas. And so people realize that we're being played by these politicians who want to throw these nicknames at each other. And they're ready for a serious senator who's going to bring both parties together to get this economy back on track.
Oh, my gosh. Joe Scarborough is having the time of his life.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Ken Paxton do something to him personally?
I wouldn't be shocked. But, I mean, I would guess, like, if you're a man who is aging in a way that isn't, like, completely self-conscious and neurotic, that you're probably a little sick of guys in your life, your peers, who are obsessed with testosterone replacement.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the way that RFK Jr. and Joe Rogan look is...
Alex Jones.
Wait till you see what Sam looks like when he comes back.
When we said he was doing Hollywood stuff, we said he's getting a Brazilian butt lift and chest implants like Steven Crowder.
Yep.
And then, of course, testosterone
he's
replacement.
He's going to be beet red.
Yeah.
He's going to be red like whatever kind of apple he likes.
Exactly.
He's going to look like Ben Grimm from the Fantastic Four.
Like, I truly, the same thing with that Sid Rosenberg when we showed him and he was so purple. It looks like if you were to just like do a scratch with your fingernail that he would explode with purple and red blood everywhere. They are not healthy.
And these guys they look like that. They're on, you know, gender affirming care for their as they age because they're concerned about that, very preoccupied. And also they love like the military industrial complex, like flying giant wasteful taxpayer bombers over their head.
Yeah.
Like this is and then they look at you like you're the one who's not manly. You're the one who wants $1 trillion war machines protecting you from the skies at all times. I don't need that.
Right.
I don't feel safer by that. You do, fucking weirdo.
And they're the ones that need daddy cops to be breaking up.
Exactly.
Like any whenever a black or brown person approaches them in a city, they're shaking in their boots.
Send in the National Guard.
Yeah. Look,
literally.
Literally. Yeah. Like, as long as we're engaging in pseudoscience, are we sure that the testosterone replacement isn't actually making them more feminine?
And hysterical?
And hysterical?
Yeah. Well, speaking of, feminine, I mean, that's a bad transition, but this is a hilarious clip. Have you seen this?
Okay, no, I haven't seen this yet. This is Paxton.
Ken Paxton is starting to riff, and he realizes he goes down an avenue that he probably shouldn't and very abruptly changes direction. And people should know that Ken Paxton, like we said, was in London with his mistress the other week. He was biblically divorced by his wife for these sorts of, like, having affairs with, like, influencers and stuff.
A Christian influencer, most notably, yes.
So here he realizes, he catches himself.
So what are the differences between me and my opponent? I'm sure you know some of them. One of them is family. Actually, let me talk about faith first.
That's some shaky ground.
put a pin in family.
Yeah. Let me talk about the thing where forgiveness is built in.
Yeah, yeah.
And redemption, yeah. And Jezebels.
That is oftentimes, you know, when people convert to religion really quickly, Russell Brand most notably.
Uh-huh. Right, baptized by Bear Grylls.
as a holy man is. Those are people that are often understand that they've done wrong, but they really don't want to do the work of confronting the harm that they've caused,
right,
in something like therapy. So it still has this kind of release of...
just under the surface.
Of the bad things that you've done, but without any of the introspection. So,
right. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ into your heart.
Exactly.
And you're forgiven.
And you're forgiven.
You don't have to say, I'm sorry, Jesus.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Or wife, or whatever. But
yeah. Or even admit you did anything wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. You've been accepted.
I was born in sin, so let's not get into the specifics.
Right, right, right. I mean, come on. It's a nature-nurture thing. Is it a bit of both? I don't know. But, I was not aware of this, Brian, until you said, and I guess I knew it, but the testosterone thing, that you have to keep taking it once you start taking it.
It's replacement therapy. It replaces your body's ability.
So all these young soldiers who would be put on it would not be able to, they'd have to have like a subscription service for life for testosterone. They would not be able to produce it themselves.
I want to look up, like, there's got to be some sort of deep dive into things like Nugenics, which I always see those ads, or I used to when I would have cable on late night TV for the testosterone replacement, and it sounds so much like eugenics. It's like, why did you name it Nugenics when it sounds like eugenics?
That appeals to some people.
I mean, it does, but it's like,
eugenics on myself.
30 Rock reference, where Jenna's blog is called jennaside.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Say it out loud. Genocide. Anyway, but I don't know why they would do that. But I wonder who's profiting off of it. Because all this RFK stuff too, everything they're promoting, all this alternative medicine, they're getting rich off of it. This is a separate industry promoted by podcasters to make it seem like your alienation from your own healthcare can be solved with alternative products that don't really have scientific efficacy, and it's exploiting people's lack of agency over their health.
Well, that was funny about during COVID, instead of getting vaccinated, what was Brett Weinstein doing with that? What was that drug that everyone was obsessed with for
ivermectin?
A while? Ivermectin, yeah. So he was basically on a ivermectin dosage that would have cost basically more, like, triple what you pay for Netflix every month. And you're going to be paying that. And, oh, yeah, it's way less expensive than blah, 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 whatever. Well, it wasn't more expensive than getting the vaccine would have been.
Right.
And, yeah, you act like you're sticking one to pharma as you decide, I'm going to get a pharmaceutical
and take it prophylactically.
And take it prophylactically.
For the rest of your life, instead of just getting a vaccine?
Because I don't like medicine companies.
Because I'm afraid of needles, and that's why I'm a man, okay? I'm afraid of men on the street, and cops need to protect me. I'm afraid of needles, so I'll take ivermectin.
Also, I'm going
to
spend every amount of my energy organizing against trans people.
Yes, right, right. Because that makes my masculinity feel threatened, and let's not examine that too closely.
Even though we're at the same clinics.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, yeah, and then you end up looking like whatever this guy was. What's his name again?
Sid Rosenberg.
Sid Rosenberg?
Yes. Purple Thanos man. I can't even look at this still. It makes me sick. Look at that.
And you end up looking like him, and then...
The picture of health?
Yeah.
I love that there's available contrast in this picture.
Me too.
To show how it's not
exactly right.
We were unsure until we cut it, if the lighting was wrong, until we cut to that woman and we saw that he's
what that man
purple.
Looks like. A fucking grape.
Oh, man. Kirby said clavicular made himself sterile from testosterone. That's like...
He's on testosterone? He's, what, 21 years
Who
old?
Who is?
Clavicular.
Oh.
That's so depressing. I mean, it's also, like, shame on him for probably... I would guess if he's on it, promoting it to his young fan base.
But how old is this kid? Like, how... At a certain level, you see these things and you're like...
Your brain's not fully formed yet?
Yeah.
I absolutely do see that, yeah, 100%.
Clavicular makes me sad. I know that sounds stupid to say, but like it's a sickness.
It's not going to end well.
It's not going to end well. And I say this as somebody like, you know,
already not going well. I feel
right. Well, I mean,
I went to an all
taking the Israel trip.
I went to an all girls school, and it was a big part of our like sex ed education was eating disorder stuff, because a lot of girls struggled with it. And there were forums that you know, you could go to teach yourself how to be anorexic or bulimic, and like we were told about it in school as an educational thing to prevent people from going there. Clavicular is just doing that stuff for young boys.
Yep.
Body dysmorphia and eating disorders.
Smash your face with a hammer and the bone will grow back. Right. More handsome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I didn't make that. That's the actual thing. He's telling kids.
That's how bones work. They're either handsome or ugly or
and
my bones are an 8.5.
The problem is when you're like, I'm the handsome guy that hits himself with a face to become handsome, is if you're ever not the most handsome guy in what they call a frame now,
yeah,
everyone's gonna make fun of you.
and I've been following that guy for a little.
It happened to me with a picture with you last night. Yeah.
Somebody said you look like Vince Vaughn. I'm like, I don't quite.
I also got Troy Jackson, which made me cry laugh.
It's anti-main discrimination.
That is.
So it's goddamn funny.
Regional profiling. But I just think Clavicular looks like, I remember him maybe being introduced to him, and whatever amount of drugs he's taking, like, he looks a lot worse than he did even 6 months ago. So it just doesn't seem like
he's helped create a standard that he will not be able to meet.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's like a Greek tragedy.
A little bit. Okay. Let's take a call and then we'll do this, which is also a funny story. Calling from a 478 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Cody from Georgia.
Cody from Georgia, what's on your mind?
Do you have a second for me to bring up the Epstein files and something I found?
Of course.
All right. So I'm in aviation. So I was looking at some of the flight records. And airplanes, pilots are required to keep two records. They're required to keep the actual aircraft log that stays with the airplane, and then they keep a personal log. So I was looking through pilot for Epstein. I believe his name is David Rogers. I was looking through his log.
Interesting.
And
that's such a generic name, it sounds made up, but continue.
Yes, of course. With a D, R-O-D-G-E-R-S. Okay, bear with me. Sorry. I'm a little nervous.
You're great. You're doing great.
So you go through, and part of naming an aircraft is the N number, and you can request whatever comes after the N to be like a personalized license plate, basically. Okay. So Jeffrey Epstein, a lot of his planes ended with JE, 908, 909, JE, et cetera. Well, there's this one plane, N530GA. Doesn't really belong in this list of flights. And under the comments section, which you'd use for any kind of interesting thing, if you had weather, turbulence,
right,
whatever, there's a name.
Hmm.
John Roberts.
Hmm. Okay.
So I
can
look
you tell
up
us
that
more
airplane
about this flight,
number.
Though? Yeah.
Well, this is around 2010, I believe, is the. I had to pull up the actual record again. But the interesting thing is the plane to me. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can look up the tail number and you can track these aircraft and who owns them and whatnot. And this one doesn't go back to a Jeffrey Epstein. It goes back to the TWA, but Jeffrey Epstein famously purchased a lot of TWA aircraft, the 1979 Gulfstream. But where is the airplane now? It was destroyed about a month after Epstein died. It flew illegally into Guatemalan airspace, landed at a dirt runway, was offloaded by a bunch of people, and then by the time the military got there, they had escaped across the Mexican border. And they set the aircraft on fire.
Wow. Can, I mean, look,
audience.
This is what we're talking about when we say we don't have like a newsroom behind us.
Right. I would love to be able to fact check you in real time.
N530 GA. You can look it up. You can
say it again.
There's actual store. N530 GA is the aircraft
N5, number. I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
N530 GA.
Okay. Got it.
And there's actually a news article, a couple of news articles in Guatemala about these aircraft. There's pictures of it sitting on the runway, on this dirt runway, torched, just completely burnt, destroyed. And there's also a couple of vehicles that these, I guess, gang members or whatever that drove up also burned out before the military got there. So what this was on that aircraft?
This is nuts. Aiden in Kansas City says hook this guy up with Pablo Torre. Pablo, I mean, maybe I'll try to DM him or something, because if he's been on this beat, then I'll alert him to what you're saying.
I haven't seen anybody like pull this thread, like what John Roberts was doing on an airplane that was later destroyed after flying illegally into Guatemalan airspace that was owned by Jeffrey Epstein, more than likely, that was destroyed a month after Jeffrey Epstein died.
In 2019. We have it here.
And who is operating Jeffrey Epstein's aircraft? Who is the pilot in that one?
Okay.
Like, there has to be a pilot that knows how to fly a Gulfstream.
Right. Interesting.
You know?
All right, well, we're going to wait to verify it a little bit more before we put this up, but...
Sure.
It's a good story for any journalist.
I've been trying to call and connect about that for months, but it's just kind of like gone up in the ether. Thanks for letting me get through.
I appreciate it, Cody, and it sounds juicy what you're saying here. I would be very intrigued to look into this further, or for some reporter to do so. So appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd love to see if you follow up on it. Thank you.
I will. Thanks so much. Marge Simpson anime. I just watched Zodiac. Is this caller also a cartoonist? one of my favorite movies, by the way. David Fincher's a technician, and that might be his best film. Zodiac.
Oh yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah.
It's really good. Although I rewatched Gone Girl recently, which is, it's not his best movie, but it's just so campy and fun. But I love the level of precision and, like, you know, I don't know, the technical parts of how he directs is just so good. McConnell's ghost was Nathan Fielder, the pilot. Chicago Gabagool, the pilot of that flight, Kawhi Leonard. I'm not sure I get that one.
I don't. Unless that's because Pablo Torre broke the Kawhi Leonard.
Oh yeah.
It reminds me of the movie Flashpoint, 1984 movie about two Border Patrol officers who find a rifle, which if you know anything about the Malik or Carcano, it's alluded to as the rifle used in the JFK assassination, in a burnt out car next to the border. And then they find out that they're involved in a much broader conspiracy. That's a good weekend. That's Matt's movie tip.
There you go.
Flashpoint, 1984.
Trademark logo.
That's a really good movie, actually. I love Flashpoint. Also, if anybody has recommendations like the movie Flashpoint, because I like Clute or The Conversation.
Blowback? Have you seen that?
Have I seen Blowback? I'm not sure.
It's a good one for that net genre.
Yeah, that's my shit.
I don't know
political thrillers.
About political thrillers.
The Manchurian Candidate, that type of stuff. Yeah.
Michael Clayton.
Michael Clayton's all right. Yeah, yeah. A little bit too.
All right.
Too muted. I don't know.
Just no judgment in brainstorming.
Anyways. No, that's a good movie. It's funny, actually. You're right about Michael Clayton. I have a personal history with that, where I used to make fun of a guy for having a Michael Clayton poster in college. I'm like, that's a weird movie.
That is a very odd poster to have, yeah.
But I'm like, I then saw Michael Clayton. I'm like, all right, it's an okay movie.
All right, well.
I meant Blowout, not Blow. I see your movie there. No, Blowout with Travolta. I know it's right up your alley with what you're describing.
Interesting. Okay. Never heard of this.
Okay.
Oh, De Palma, though. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. So, oh, wait. What number is this?
I don't know. Do we have the teleprompter?
No, we have it. I just want to make sure I have it on the... Oh, yeah. It's number 10.
Yep.
So Trump's teleprompter operator, and I know that this might be really difficult for people to hear because Trump constantly
talks
about...
He has a teleprompter?
How he doesn't use a teleprompter on, like, Barack Hussein Obama.
Who needs one?
Yeah. The weave.
The weave. That's all I need. He had... Or has one, because this guy has only been put on paid leave, according to Caroline Levitt herself. But he had a teleprompter operator, this guy named Gabriel Perez. And
he is wiping down the teleprompter.
doing his job.
Working hard.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know.
Wondering how his bet's going to pay off.
Right. Like, when you're working that hard, sometimes you need a little something-something on the side. Why not go over to Kalshi and place some bets on what Trump is going to say when you have access to it originally? Or I don't know what the nature of the bets were. I would imagine it had to do with the content of his speeches.
Yeah, what he's going to say.
Right. It could also be like how long he goes. That's the only reason that I'm hesitating there. But just stupid stuff like that, that it should be completely illegal to gamble on.
I mean, he's contributing to prediction markets.
Yes.
I think we should all thank him for that.
Oh, right. Our economy. All the value this is creating and Kalshi.
It helps information spread better.
It's an arbiter of truth.
Right. But that's the other part is like, did the betting lines move on these prediction markets the way that a bunch of money on a game would move?
They have to.
In sports betting? They have to, which is part of why this is insanity. That this is allowed because if you have inside information, you're tilting the odds against bettors that don't have this kind of outside information. If you're betting on this kind of stuff, look, I still have sympathy for you because our economy is so messed up and people can't get ahead that people are making these decisions like this. But please just don't, because this is evidence that this is rigged against the average person. This guy, Gabriel Perez, apparently made more than $100,000 betting on Trump speeches. Here is... a question. Caroline Levitt was asked about this by a reporter at the White House press conference, and she explains that he's been put on paid leave.
Talked a little bit about what the president might say tonight, but the other question is, who is running the teleprompter tonight after this report that the other guy is now under investigation for making money off of reading the president's speech?
Obviously, I'm aware of the report. The president is, too. I spoke with him about it. He believes it's deeply unfortunate and, frankly, a disgrace. And the individual that was cited in that report is complying with the CFTC, but has been put on paid administrative leave. So there will be a teleprompter operator tonight, of course, but it will not be the one, unfortunately, in that story.
One more on Iran.
So Trump is so furious and disgusted by him that he put him on...
As he juiced the market every single weekend for 2 months on the Iran war.
He put him on paid leave. But his hypocrisy wouldn't prevent him from throwing a guy like this under the bus. I have some other questions.
Not.
Why not fire him? Trump loves nothing more than firing people. If he embarrass him.
They might talk.
That's what I'm saying. What else does he know?
It's so unfortunate and frankly a disgrace.
Yes, and that's why... And that's why we're retaining him and continuing to pay him to not work.
I do like the cut of his jib.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, we saw a photo of that guy. Yeah. He could not be more manly.
So I need. I'm going to need 45%.
Right.
Also, how is that not like? I don't give a shit about this, but how is that not treason or something? Like, if you're.
I mean, it's crazy.
Reading ahead and placing bets on.
Because Trump's doing it himself. They made more than $2 billion on cryptocurrency since he's gotten back into the White House.
Yeah.
More than $2 billion. You don't think that's because of insider trading? It's the most insider trading we've ever seen. But, they'll talk about Nancy Pelosi until the cows come home.
But it's also tipping policy ahead of time before he says
right.
It.
If the New York Times got that, they would sue him. Say, how dare we need to find out who leaked this.
Right, right. So I just couldn't believe, because I read a write-up of this. I don't want to throw the outlet under the bus, but it incorrectly said unpaid. And then you hear her, and she says paid. She says paid. We're so disgusted. How could you do this to the American public?
Disgrace.
And to President Trump? You're still going to be sticking with us, and just let's let this die down for now.
Yeah, it'll go away.
Yeah.
And then later they're going to ask about the Trump sons in this press conference having an investment in a mining operation in Kazakhstan or whatever. And
yeah.
Trump, I don't know anything about that.
Right. Trump says. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It will shock you how much it never happened.
Ryan doesn't get that because he still won't watch Mad Men.
It just sounded like something Trump would say. It just did.
Well, it's Don Draper.
It will shock you how much I didn't touch
never happened, right? Yeah. Brandon Tartikoff, Matt Rubicon on AMC was a great one-season show that was totally in the Parallax View / Clute style of the 70s political thriller master Alan Pakula.
Oh, yeah, Pakula's the GOAT. Parallax View, also another great one.
Dan from Columbus, regarding TRT for young men, I think y'all should have Dr. Mike from Renaissance Periodization on the show. His personal politics are libertarian, but from my estimation, his usual reaction to MAHA crap tends to be along the lines of, there was one study 20 years ago that's never been replicated, but you can also get the same benefits by regulating your sleep schedule better.
I mean, I saw him do something with Abdullah Sayed, like a little spot. I think that's probably better lane.
You can't get to everything. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I think the politics are not quite the match.
Dimpria, interesting story about Senator Booker. On his 14th birthday, his grandfather took him to Lake Michigan for a fishing trip. After a long day of little to no action, young Corey finally got a nibble. Shortly thereafter, he and that fish were in a battle of epic proportions. Alas, after several minutes, the fishing line snapped and his birthday dreams collapsed. Teary-eyed and disappointed, he turned to his grandfather and exclaimed, "I want that Michigan fist." He left his best. All right, well, that's a narrative.
It's a bedtime story. Then.
What Gibbs says, did you see the Kala High America 250 ads? Whether women would get the vote or when baseball would end segregation, it's absolute madness.
Kalshi.
Okay, sorry, that was it.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that was a fake thing or real. It looked, when I saw it, I'm like, this is, the protesters put up this fake ad, but apparently it might have been actually Kalshi, where it said, It purported to be like 1939. It's like, will baseball be desegregated?
Yes. Yes.
Tasteful, guys. Thanks.
All right, guys. I'm sorry. No more time for phone calls. I apologize for people that have been on the line.
What kind of bull is this?
We will get to them on Monday. I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, it was supposed to be Michigan fish. Got it. California Resistance. By the way, Emma, the Morning Joe pick is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of Texas, not Paxton. Look it up. They got it wrong. Paxton.
No, we got that right. We pointed out that it was actually... Wait, what are they... It wasn't Paxton, and we said it was Patrick.
It was Dan Patrick.
Yeah, we said that.
We did say that?
Well, you originally set it up as this is the attack that Paxton is doing on Tallarico, which is true. He is mentioning this same stuff. But this example... And we mentioned it in the clip, was Patrick.
Sorry, all white men look the same to me.
Yeah, all white men grandmas.
Yeah.
Is Paxton... How's Paxton's tea? I mean...
That is grandma.
That is grandma.
Let's do... Really quickly, I want to do... should we do Mom Donnie? That's more substantive. Or we could do something fun. Really quick, Jesse Waters, Mom Donnie.
Yeah, that Jesse Waters, a rape culture.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. We'll do, because there's a second clip that makes it at least tolerable. Right. Jesse Waters, who I will remind people, as I do every time, left his then wife for a young producer at Fox News. And look, things happen. That's not disqualifying. But... He brags often about how, in order to get her to pay attention to him, he let out her tires in the Fox News parking lot so that he would have to give her a ride home. Anyway, Jesse Waters is really excited about servicemen going around bases and hitting on women with their high testosterone and acting like wild animals around other women. I'm shocked that this guy doesn't really seem to have great ideas about consent.
Yes, he says you lose your endurance, muscle mass. So, yeah, I want these guys on it. But you know what's going to happen? The guys that don't need it are going to take it to triple boost.
Right.
And then they're going to get out there. And women on base, you guys better be careful. port calls, women in Asia, you better be careful because these guys are going to be wild disgusting. Animals. And you better watch out.
Okay. Okay.
You should have held his hand.
But I don't know if I would have.
Oh, Dana.
Wow. Even Dana Perino is like grossed out by that. Can we play that again? I was expecting it to be Jessica, who was the one grossed out visibly, but it was Dana Perino being like, God, this guy's disgusting.
This, he says you lose your endurance, muscle mass. So, yeah, I want these guys on it. But you know what's going to happen? The guys that don't need it are going to take it to triple boost.
Right.
And then they're going to get out there. And women on base, you guys better be careful. Port calls, women in Asia, you better be careful because these guys are going to be wild animals. And you better.
Yeah, they might rape you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I want to just see though, Dana Perino's reaction.
Watch out.
Okay.
Low two.
You should have held his hand.
But I don't know if I would have.
Oh, Dana.
Dana, why don't you be one of the boys when I'm talking about like all these testosterone hyped up servicemen who are going to be watch out to service women and then making some, you know, racist, likely Orientalist, like
allusion to the history of rape of Asian women by U.S. service members. Yeah, yep. Hilarious thing.
Hilarious.
To mention.
Or other service members. When I was in, that was we had meetings like every week.
Yes.
About this because it was so bad.
Because the reporting, the women who were raped by other members of the military would report to their superiors, and they would get covered up. And if they decide to go, beyond the chain of command, that was insubordination. And so this was and I'm sure is a systemic problem in the military, let alone what he's implying there, which is that all these guys who are young and like 18 years old to 25, they need to be on triple boost testosterone to get hooked on that for the rest of their life so they can, I don't know, look like RFK Jr. at 45? It's just bizarre.
Also, does he think testosterone and rape are synonymous?
I mean, but like...
Because that says a lot.
It says a lot about their fixation on testosterone and their vision of masculinity, which is rapacious. These insecure bullies can only define their masculinity as their ability to subjugate others. And that is, you know, the definition of toxic masculinity. It's what has upheld patriarchy. I don't know. He says this stuff for shock value because no one cares what he does now that he's in Tucker Carlson's slot.
Well, that's the thing is he sits in a den of sexual harassment where he says this. Never mind with the history of the military, which is, you know, not accounted for and not under control in the present tense. But Fox News, this is from NPR 2023, so maybe there's some updates to this figure. But the ultimate tally of its costs, Fox News, that is, associated with the larger sexual harassment scandals, near $200 million.
Yeah.
And so since that time, Fox News chief Suzanne, do you see this piece? Has emphasized publicly that she has instituted sweeping changes in the network's workplace culture. The network and Fox Corp have amplified those statements of major reforms.
Well, there's two men in that panel on the five. We already heard Jesse Waters' story about letting air out of the tires. And the other guy, Tyrus, was also sued by a Fox News host for sexual harassment as well.
Wow. So. Wow. But I mean, maybe if they were on testosterone, then they I don't know, it wouldn't stop there. Then all the women would be like the service members and the women at port, just like ready to be ravaged and taken by them. That's like their ideal vision. It's... Also,
a bunch of rapists.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're literally mentioning that, like, testosterone injections or supplements are not medically necessary for the warfighters. And yet, we know that testosterone and hormones are medically necessary for trans people due to decades of research about this very issue, about gender dysphoria and how effective they are. And yet, there's an all-out war to deny trans people their care. This is like... you know, aesthetic and also pseudoscientific. And this is what fascistic. Gets prioritized. And fascistic, their vision of the warfighter, of course, is like
I mean, 2 degrees away from Nazi propaganda with blonde hair, blue eyes, and, like, you know, super homoerotic undertones to it. But just because this is our final segment on Friday, we have to leave you with this reminder that friend of the show Ryan Grimm stood up for a female reporter that Jesse Waters was harassing 15, 20 years ago, maybe it was at this point. Maybe it was just 10 years ago. And at a White House correspondence dinner, got into a tussle where Jesse Waters stood up for her and they got into a fight. And apparently, I saw on Twitter, at least, I can't verify it, Jesse has not been back to a White House correspondence dinner since. Is that true? Or a after party? Mm. Maybe Ryan, the true alpha, scared him. Look at how this little bitch quivers at just the mention of Ryan Grimm.
Also, it looks like he injected some cushion into his face.
Like, the amount of filler in this guy's face, like, Kardashians don't even have that, and I'm combining all the sisters.
Yeah, he's getting Mar-a-Lago face over here.
No. Family show, Jessica, family show. Serious note, drop site news just published. I mean, I can barely do this now. What? Okay, so drop site news just published.
What is drop site news?
It's the new.
Jesse, are you okay?
With Ryan Grimm. Okay, it's something that I made. It's a real.
Can you go back? Who's that guy on the right?
That's Tyrus.
Tyrus, right. Tyrus, Jesse, are you all right?
What's Tyrus's deal?
He's on Gutfeld, and he's filling in here on The Five. He's been on Fox News since 2015. He's a wrestler.
Okay, I was asking, why is he dressed down, but it's a wrestler.
Right, thing. Right. Yeah. I mean, they got to appeal to the aesthetic of the everyman over there at Fox. I wish the camera was on him so badly when this was happening. Keep going.
Site news.
It's the new.
Jesse, are you okay? Ryan
okay? Either way, okay. It's something that I made. It's a real site. Okay. They have a piece out about an Iranian official told them that Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are abusing their insider status for personal gain. We have talked about how much money.
All right, I think that's good.
Iranian said that. Really,
I love that you said that.
You told that to who?
That was
drop site news.
What's so funny about this is that.
I thought. Hold on. The MOU. I thought that was the end of it. Go back just a second, because then he's not going to say Ryan Grimm's name, but he will say drop site and disparage it.
That to who?
That was
drop site news.
What's so funny about is that's exactly what you guys said to me when I talked about the MOU, right? That was allegedly leaked. And J.D. Vance, the vice president, sat next to me and said that I was parroting Iranian propaganda. And guess what? That MOU was word for word what it actually turned out to be.
Yep.
So you can mock me all that you want.
Okay. Okay. I will.
I mean, that's just perfect, though. It's perfect that, like you said, the bitch Jesse Waters has to sit there and take that.
Because that's an actual Chad.
Exactly. And showed him what's what. And also J.D. Vance. Also, it's Iranian propaganda. Y'all are bitches.
Yep. And, I mean, I just got to give it to Jessica Tarlov, who I think did that on purpose.
She's on a win streak over there.
She is. And the amount that she probably has to endure in that hostile workplace to maintain some level of
respectability. Like a criminally hostile workplace.
Yes.
I imagine what her social media is like, too.
Oh, my God.
Worse than even any other woman's.
I know. So, like, you know, she's the only person at Fox News who's ethically taking that paycheck because she's going out there and fighting the good fight. But goddamn. You know, Ryan Grimm just gave you a lesson in real masculinity. Jesse, why didn't you want to talk about him?
Jesse, the follow a female reporter for writing something bad about Bill O'Reilly for 90 minutes when she goes on vacation.
Vacation. That's why Ryan Waters confronted him, was over that.
It wasn't going to some war zone, which Waters has never done.
Of course. Right. Or, like, risked your career like Ryan and Dropside and Scahill do. Or not your career, but you're like standing in the legal status because they're publishing, they're speaking to Iranian negotiators, which we need.
Actual journalism.
They're speaking to Hamas, which we need, because otherwise we're just getting what the United States line is about this, or Israel's line is. And like, they could be, if they're not careful, targeted because they're speaking to people that the United States deems as terrorists, especially under this administration. Ryan and Scahill putting their like safety on the line, and this little bitch from his studio is like fantasizing about soldiers raping women in Asia, and talks about real masculinity.
They're definitely going to harass Dropsite for the just reporting basic stuff about the conflict areas, like
exactly.
what is Hamas saying. That's right. Actually like relevant information that even in past like eras has we've had more access to than we have recently, because places like Fox News just take J.D. Vance's word for it. That's what the Iranians want you to think.
Yep. All right, guys, going to read some IMs and then we'll get out of here. Omega, Tyrus was a failed wrestler that had fans angry when he held a championship with THW, National Wrestling Alliance, which has hundreds of more talented wrestlers that surrounded him. Now, this guy who had a funk music-centric gimmick in the WWE is on TV talking to anyone about anything. Then again, they still employ Jesse Waters.
I mean, I guess it's right up there with Donnie Deutsch.
Yep.
Do you remember when an ESPN reporter got fired because she said, when they laid off like 100 reporters, and she said she was fired because she was white?
Yes.
Brit something.
Right now she works at Fox or something.
Well, she's not at Fox, but that's the one that Tyrus sexually harassed when she went to Fox.
Everybody, there's no heroes here. There's
that's
no
my
heroes.
Kind of story. I like
yep,
that.
Right.
Everybody is
just a bunch
shitty.
Of scumbags. Yeah.
No one to root for.
Yeah. I mean, I truly do believe that way. I think that when people like want to watch TV shows and they need someone to root for, I'm like, you're a little bitch. Sorry.
Jamal, look what you did there. Yes,
that was such an incredible line that it's ringing in my ears, I guess. Nina in Norfolk, I had some dweeb online calling Mom Donnie a traitor, claiming he spoke to Iran. Am I that old? Has anyone forgotten, everyone forgotten when Congress went behind Obama's back to try to sabotage the JCPOA? Yeah, we've got a lot of problems with Obama. But again, I look back on that period of the Iran negotiations, and we probably, in my understanding of it, I wasn't working in political media at the time, probably underestimated the Zionists. subterfuge attempts on that, and how aggressive that was and how much of an achievement that was in you know, in spite of those circumstances, especially when we compare it to the presidency of Joe Biden. Joe Snuffy, I know most folks think racism and misogyny are the reason why Hexa is trying to shove hormones down the throats of service members after changing the military's grooming and body composition standards, but have you considered that he might just be trying to create a living spank bank? He just needs to be surrounded by hot buff dudes all the time. It's a medical condition. Well, Joe Snuffy, perhaps that's he would never do so without Trump's directive. So it might be him creating the spank bank for Trump. And we also know that Trump is devolving into his true chaotic bisexual self.
And now we're talking about fitness, and yep. These guys passed with flying colors.
Almost as much as I passed.
Three more. Sam with a BBL says that port call comment is literally a consistent issue in Japan. Their personnel at the naval bases in Yokosuka work frequently under liberty restrictions and curfew because of the rape incidents while I was in. Marines are notorious for this. Yes. I mean, Japanese soldiers also did that in parts of, as well. But, yeah.
Jesse Waters knows that, and he's making fun of it. He thinks it's funny.
Burn bag, bro. We need a pic of Bowman in the studio looking like Hillary Clinton walking into the normal apartment.
That's great.
I love that meme. And the final I am of the week. I'm going to find Crypt Bro. Something a lot of people have yet to realize about AI data centers. They spend most of their time at idle doing zero useful work, but still burning energy. The result is that over 50% of the energy used is just wasted immediately. And that assumes that AI does useful work. Yep.
Everything exactly. I hear about them is so insane. I heard they don't need water. It's just the cheapest option to cool them.
Yeah, right. Like, it's a Frankenstein. It's nasty stuff. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody who helps us make this show possible. Matt, Brian, Dorsey and Julie, and of course Sam and Absentia.
Liliana,
Gino,
our intern.
Yes, exactly. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody, but Love you all. Appreciate you all. We will see you on Monday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth.